jest as I hear. The stage is in darkness and clear. We're raising the curtain, and no one's quite certain who's played. Listen then, if we'd known just how right we were going to be. For we dreamed a lot, and we schemed a lot, and we tried to sing of love before the stage fell apart.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to NLA's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, August 3rd, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard to midnight. If you're listening live over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3144. And our participant code is 385-698. All radio hosts are invited into the queue if they have any questions or a comment. If everyone can really hold off from coming into the queue right now, we're going to at first try to take people who haven't spoken, who've never spoken before, or new listeners, new members, or someone who hasn't spoken in maybe a month or so. And so the first, I'd say, 30 seconds or so once we move into that queue session, let's give that time for those people to get in first. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send questions to nationallibertyalliance.org. That's questions, plural, nationallibertyalliance.org. I did notice that a couple of people had sent in some questions, so I'll have to go fetch them. We'll get started once we get into the Q&A, you know, sometime into that. I'll pull those questions up and we'll go through them. Or Gerard, maybe you can look them up and see once, because they probably should have went to you also. Okay, please support our business partners. You can see their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which all of the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our site. And that's nationallibertyalliance.org. All right, let's take a look into God's Word. We're going to look a little today into Jeremiah. I'm going to look at a few verses in chapter 9 and maybe a few verses out of chapter 10. So Jeremiah. And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imaginations of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Egypt, someone's mic is open here. I think Gary, might be you. Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the uttermost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. And that was Jeremiah, a few verses out of chapter 9 and chapter 10. I was reading these verses this week, and I thought they might be interesting to bring up. They have a lot of focus in on where we are. And God is speaking about those who have forsaken his law. And the law of God is natural law. It's the law that's written in the men's hearts. And of course, the word of God is the law of God, the Bible. And so there's a lot of verses or a lot of words in here that kind of leads us ultimately to the judgment day here at the ends of the world. God warns us of that coming judgment. And he speaks of bringing judgment upon Egypt. And, you know, I've been looking pretty hard at this word Egypt. And Egypt, in the days, of course, when God took his people out of Egypt, that's a picture, ultimately, and especially when they crossed the sea. To cross the sea is the idea of crossing from earth into heaven. But it's a very interesting picture that gives us a lot of understanding here at the end of the world. Where we are in the sense, I think Judgment Day is upon us, and particularly the Day of Judgment upon nations, which the Bible speaks about. Before Judgment Day itself, he's going to judge nations here within time, so it seems. But Egypt identifies with the rulers of the world ultimately. And when we look at Judah and Edom and Ammon and Moab and all they are the others to the uttermost corners, that identifies with the nations of the world, and that these nations will be judged. All right, anyway, let's move on into our meeting tonight. We don't have a particular subject tonight. I don't know if anybody, Gerard or anybody, does anybody have any announcements or anything they'd like to bring up before we get moving forward? Gary, Gerard. I know, Gary, you're working on some things. Any idea when there's going to be some changes on the website up there?
Yeah, we're actually engaging with the hosting company, Barton. We are having some difficulties, and the server needs to be reset or something. There's a few basic functionalities that are not occurring, and they're holding us up.
Okay, so you're working on that. And, you know, bring up to them. I don't know if you brought it up to them. I noticed that a lot of the emails going out have been duplicated again.
John, it's not just that. I mean, there's other basic functionality that's hanging and not working. Okay. We haven't had any complaints.
Work it out. Let me know how that's going out tomorrow.
We'll do. We are on it.
Okay, but are there going to be major changes this week, you think, up there on the site?
Man, if we can get a hold of that, we've been trying to get them since last Thursday.
Okay, well, if you need me to make a call, let me know.
We will tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Anything else other than problems?
Nope. No, other than you guys really, we're having a lot of really good things flow to the service. We've got people stepping forward for helping with membership drives by leading committees to draw interest, state taxes, mortgages, things that are really, really hitting home. Our numbers are going up every day. And I can see that probably before the snow flies, we'll be 5,000 plus members. Good stuff.
Great. Okay. Gerard, you got anything before we get moving? I don't know if Gerard's in. Maybe he didn't get in yet. I was speaking with him earlier. Let's see. We do still need to fill a lot of leadership roles. As a matter of fact, we need a lot of leaders. I mean, look, this is what we all are. We're supposed to be. We're all supposed to be leaders, leading the people back into the courts to take control of the process. And even if every member was to get active and take on roles, we still need more. You know, I was crunching some numbers in my head the other day over the weekend, and, you know, we fax out information to 12,500 approximately, maybe a little more, 12,500 elected and appointed servants. And, of course, we name all of them, these people, in our paperwork. But when we specifically focus in on a specific group, like let's say... you know, if we're sending something especially to the governors, we will also hard mail them, send them a copy through the regular U.S. mail. But everyone else, the other 12,500 individuals, they would be getting a copy of that by fax. And we'll make a note of that on the front page to the clerks that these are papers in a court of record. Court is in session and has been so for quite some time now, and they haven't responded once. And silence is when they have a duty to speak is fraud. But we'll continue to reach out with the olive branch until the time comes that you know, we get to that point and they can't hold us back any further, and we do get into these courts. Then all those that have done nothing to work with us are going to be held accountable. We're going to require that they start leaving offices. We're going to require the replacement of these individuals. They've really violated their oath. They know what's going on. We have explained to them. If they haven't listened and they haven't been paying attention and they haven't been reading, that's their problem. But I don't think that that's the case. Maybe on certain lower levels where they're really, really ignorant, that's a possibility. But I think by now they're getting the message. I have noticed at this point, so far as I know, Jade Helm has not gone forward, and we are not finished with Jade Helm. We've got some things about to happen on that to put more pressure on these people. And, of course, more papers, which will put more pressure on these people. And the fear of going forward and not knowing what to do, I think, is playing heavy in their hearts. So we'll see how things go with that. So in any event, we do need a lot of people. We need more people that's going to step up and take leadership roles, get into the committees. Anybody who is going to become an administrator, all you have to do is go up to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our civics course. And when you sign up for the civics course, of course, you have to be a member of National Liberty Alliance to get through that part. But so you become a member and you sign up on the course. You click the button administrator, and then your name will show up in your state, in your county, as an administrator. We need 4 administrators for every county. And, of course, that's going to be a paid position at some point when we get into the courts, because we will be the facilitators or the investigative body for the grand jury and the trial jury to do the orientation for them, to bring them in, to do their service, and also to train them on how to go forward and give them the basics on common law and how they need to make all their decisions in a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. So you click on those buttons and take the course. Nobody is going to become an administrator in any county without becoming prepared to become one, and so you have to take that course. And also, you need to sign up for a committee to get involved, to start learning about court process, writing papers, and different things of that nature, which we'll put more information and details on that as we get going. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, we'll be more situated where we can be more detailed in that. We also, as I had mentioned, and we just haven't had the time to do it yet, but it's coming up. We'll be getting it together soon, hopefully. Is a line-by-line course on the Constitution. And that's going to be, again, another prerequisite in order to become an administrator. You know, people, when you go in to become a jurist, it's a thing of the heart, ultimately. The heart will guide the individual. And we have to stand in honor, justice, and mercy. And this is what we have to deliver to these people that we pull in out of a pool, okay, to become either grand jurist or trial jurist, and they need to operate with those principles, and they need to follow the heart. They just need to listen very carefully to the potential cases and judge people and the situation on the facts. But they also get to judge the law and make a decision on what kind of a penalty, if any, is to be applied. Obviously, if they find them guilty, they have to find some restitution for the injured party, something that our courts have never done or hasn't done in at least 100 years. But that's what common law requires, is restitution. You know, you steal a man's ox, you got to replace it with 4. That's the penalty. And so, we'll lay out certain principles. We'll start working on those. I know I have started working on some of those, on how people can try to figure out how restitution might be able to be applied to certain people in certain cases. And so maybe we'll be able to work some rules of thumb on that. Again, anybody who wants to be an administrator, and we need 12,500 administrators. I was kind of surprised because I mentioned I was looking at these numbers over the weekend, or thinking about them, shall I say. And when I ran the 3,143 counties and multiplied it by 4 people per county, which is probably, some counties might require more, like New York City, but generally speaking, it's 4. It comes out to the same number. So we need 12,500 people to save America. That's what we need. So everybody should get involved.
What is that, John? That's a remnant of the country. That's all that is.
That's all it is. We don't need that many. So I know that we're about to landslide soon. You know, we've been seeing it coming and coming for quite some time, and, you know, we don't know when it's going to happen, and it could be another months away yet, but I don't think it's going to be that long. We have some very, very interesting things coming up, very, very interesting cases coming up. And once we start moving into those things, I see the potential of being that explosive situation that creates a landslide into National Liberty Alliance in order for people to come in. And so we need as many people as we can now so that we can control a great influx of people. You know, we can't lose control of this. If we lose control of this and we have people coming in trying to come for vengeance and take positions for that purpose, it's going to destroy everything we're doing, and certainly God's not going to bless us for that. So it's our job, it's our duty. We've been some of those people, most of the people have been around for quite some time. Now is the time to step up. Now is the time to click that button to become the administrators and prepare to receive other people and to maintain the control so that we can keep the integrity and the focus of what we've been teaching here at National Liberty Alliance for the past couple of years. And so this is your time to step up and do something. I have a question here that I think was an old question. I don't know whether I answered this maybe a couple of weeks ago or not, but I'll just bring it up right now. Has there been any effort to address or defend against the IRS? Anybody who's being pulled into the courts with the IRS, we do a habeas corpus, end of subject, case over. So anybody having that kind of a problem, they can get a hold of the IRT team, which is the investigative and research team, which I think I want to suggest to them to change the name to the IRC, because I think a committee would be better than team, investigative and research committees. But not all that important. So anyway, that's one question I had laying around here. I know that there are two other questions. Gerard, maybe you check your mail. I don't know if you've got those questions in your email. But when I get a break, I'll go check my email to see if they're in there and see once if we can respond to those questions. What we need right now, we've spoke about this in the past, is we need wisdom. And wisdom comes only through prayer and asking. And the seven pillars of wisdom, which we spoke about some while back out of Proverbs chapter 10, 13 through 32, the pillars of wisdom, that's which holds up wisdom, is virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. So these are the things we need to seek. And, you know, God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land and forgive their sins. I think he said it first, to forgive our sins and heal our land. And certainly we need our land to be healed. But before we need our land to be healed, we need forgiveness of sins. So we have to, you know, really go to God humbly. And to go to God humbly means that really you're going in repentance. And true repentance really is ultimately focusing in on whatever problem you have in life that you know you need to change because it's wrong. You need to take that to the Lord and talk to him very specifically about that and ask him to give you the strength to overtake it and to defeat it. We have to fix our hearts first before we can fix our nations. If we have broken hearts, we're not going to be able to repair our nations. Before we get moving, let me see if I can find Paul. I had Paul marked off before. Let me see if I can find him. I'm looking for Paul from Long Island. Anybody can help? Up there, I got him. Okay, I'm going to unmute Paul. Paul from Long Island, he is a silver guy. You can find a link on the right-hand side of our website. Gary, we keep bleeding through you. Can you mute your mic, please?
Yes.
Paul is from Long Island. He sells the silver, and he supports National Liberty Alliance. And so he asked for a couple of minutes to bring some information to us. So, Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am, John.
Good to see
you. I'm
here,
and I'm glad you're feeling
right
better.
Thank you.
I promised John I'd be short and sweet. I just wanted to comment. I wanted to comment on a few things. I've been getting a lot of emails from people, you know, inquiring about you know, doing you know, monthly amounts and smaller dollar amounts. And I just want to reinforce the fact that any monthly amount, I don't want amount of money to be a consideration. I just want to see people starting to do something. So please don't feel like any amount is too small. And I do want to encourage you at some point to pick up the phone. There's nothing like personal communication, because I feel like a little is lost with the emailing back and forth. And if you call me, John will tell you, I spend all the time to educate, give knowledge. I don't twist arms. I don't pick people up and shake them by the ankles till their communion money falls out of their pockets, or anything like that, okay? So I don't want people to feel reluctant or for whatever reason that they can't contact and talk to me. I pride myself on being available. And the phone number listed on the website goes directly to me, okay? You're not going to get any of my salespeople or anything like that. And I do want to also point out that, you know, the business we do with NLA members, I've been as generous as possible making, you know, contributions to the Alliance to help support them, you know, based on the amount of activity that we get. I'm going to, you know, with you know, with John's blessing, putting something on the website shortly, where I'm going to come up with something special just for NLA members, where the margins are going to be very, very small on any types of purchases, to encourage people to, you know, start doing some buying. Puerto Rico announced today that they're going to default too now. Again, I've spoken about this in the past. The financial system is so fragile, it's ridiculous. And this is, you know, government territory now that's defaulting. And you know, we haven't even made a decision, our government, as how to bail them out, unlike the European countries where, you know, we're not responsible for their bailouts. But all of these little countries And China went down 10% in one day, their stock market, 10%. That, if that happened on this stock market, it would be a crash. I just feel as though it's an amount of just time. It's inevitable. I was doing some research and some reading. All of these big companies that are basically controlling the government, your Googles, your Apples, your Yahoos and so forth, they're showing $150 billion profits. But what's not coming out is they're incurring, through loans, twice as much debt on their balance sheets. And if these companies were judged the way that, you know, our personal lives and personal finances are judged on a real balance sheet, their stocks prices would probably plummet, absolutely plummet. They're so overvalued, it's ridiculous. You see the prices of gold and silver down, which is being done on the commodities market. That's all the manipulation. Silver is being bought unlike I have seen it being bought since 2008, since the last crash. It's an unbelievable demand for it right now. And I'm sure if a lot of you have gone on the computer and looked at other companies that you may have done business with and such, you're going to see out of stock, out of stock, out of stock. And I've had people telling me 4 to 5 weeks with these other firms waiting for delivery. As tight as the market is, I have a very, very good pipeline in obtaining these materials. I cut down on the premiums that are being floated around out there, which are very high right now because of the demand. And more importantly, nobody wants to wait 4 or 5 weeks after they pay, you know, to get their silver or their gold. So I'm going to be coming out with something whereby I'm going to be working on approximately 2% margins, 2% margins, which is as good as it's going to get, especially with the free shipping. But I do want to advocate, when you see these low silver prices, yes, It's a great opportunity to take advantage of low silver and gold prices. The demand for it has been unbelievable. Unbelievable. Every supplier in the country, I do a lot of my buying by advertising, you know, and buying over the counter and so forth, which is why I can do better and keep myself stocked. But, you know, it's getting a little rougher. I'm not going to deny it. So I do want to encourage people. Again, when I get emails and people tell me $50 a month or whatever, I want to assure you I am here to help. No dollar amount is too small. I just want to encourage people to start doing it. You'll be treated exactly the same as if you were buying $50,000 a month, okay? There is quite a demand on for it because the prices are low, and we're back to that buy it when nobody wants it before the John Q. public wakes up. I think that by the end of this year, you're going to see a lot of distress in the financial markets. It's unavoidable at this point, and I think it's important that we're all prepared. So I just want to reaffirm the fact that I am available. Please don't be afraid to pick up the phone, okay? No strong-arm tactics here. I'm pro-NLA, and I'll spend as much time, and I pride myself on being available and sharing my knowledge. But like I said, between that one-day fall in China, now Puerto Rico has to be saved. Greece was just saved. Things are not much different than they were 7 years ago. It's just the shell game. They got a little bit better at it. I'm not going to deny they're doing a good job at it, but it's just a matter of time. It can't be sustained. So, do some buying as to the best of your ability. It's a great time to buy low. I've been doing this, as I've stated before, over 30 years, and I've had people who have bought at high prices and low prices. It's a great position to be dealing with somebody who's a first-time buyer or whatever, putting them in at these low prices. When they go in this low, I have that much more confidence it's going to be a good purchase, as opposed to when everybody waits to see it way up there before they buy, just like in the stock market or whatever. I have the inventory. I can deliver quickly. The bag silver has gotten hard to get. The pre-1965 coinage is what I mean when I say bag silver. Again, I've noticed some people not understanding when I talk about face value amounts with the bag silver and how much it costs. Please don't be afraid to communicate with me. I'll explain it all to you, give you all the education you need, and no obligation. Again, no strong arming or whatever. And anybody who's in a position to be doing any other kind of buying, well, you're certainly on the right side of the fence for now, okay, before prices run up. I advocate you doing something, and I want you to understand the motivation here is not selfish. Me and John talk about it all the time, that we think it's becoming more and more important, and there's more and more people of similar thinking, not necessarily Alliance members. There's a lot of us out there who are buying because basically out of fear. So don't worry about price speculation right now. It's more important to just buy for safety, just to buy for safety. You don't mortgage the ranch to put all your money into it. You do need some cash. But this is the time to be accumulating, and I want to encourage it, okay? And like I said, don't forget, I tried to be as generous as possible, with the Alliance by letting them share in the profits of these transactions, okay? And that's basically all I wanted to say tonight. I try to keep it short and sweet. I'm from New York, so I got a big mouth. I can't shut up.
Yeah, we get lost. I hear you. Okay, thanks a lot, Paul. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right. Okay. let's see where we're at here. Yeah, let's give 30 seconds or so for people to get into the queue. I see some people have already gotten into the queue, and I do see a lot of new names here, so we'll be getting some new people. But give another maybe 30 seconds or so that anybody can get into the queue. There was something else. Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, the most important thing any of us can do, we know these are hard times coming up. They're going to come no matter what. The question is it going to be a hard fall or a soft fall? And when I say hard fall or soft fall, what I really mean is are we going to be at war? Is it going to be really serious and protecting our families and so on? Or are we going to be able to control this situation and really it'll be a monetary fall and alone, hopefully, and hopefully we'll be able to work together, the people in each counties and across the nation, to maintain some stability and maintain our governments. But anyway, one way or the other, hard times are coming, and we need to be prepared for it. People need food, you need water, and you need money. And the money you need is real money, gold and silver. And the food you need is food that will last a long time. We got. You can go click on our banner on the right-hand side of our website for food independence. And also, of course, for East End Rare Coins, that's Paul, where you can get some money. And everybody should also go out and get themselves some filters for water in case you need to go down to the local stream or somewhere to actually get water, because it can become that bad. So we should be ready, and I know what I do is I put away a lot of rice and a lot of flour. You know, bread and rice are two staples, so to speak, and you can't buy enough food to feed the neighborhood, so to speak, but you certainly can help people that haven't prepared by having a lot of rice around, rice particularly. You know, you can survive quite a long time on rice and even bread. I also bought a lot of sugar, so I got rice and sugar and wheat, and everyone should be doing that kind of thing also. It's pretty cheap to buy them in large bags and put them away. Go ahead.
Everybody should be sprouting. You should be buying wheat berries that you can put in an inch of dirt and make wheat grass.
Right, and we've got the seed vault. We've got the seed vault here on our right side. An amazing deal. I'm telling you, you get a huge amount of seed for like $40, and they give you free shipping. And again, we're selling it right off our website. You know, it's the same price you'd buy off of us as you would anywhere else. You know, we're getting a few bucks for everything that goes through us. So again, seed. You know, you could throw seed here and so throw seed there. I understand this grows even in the basement and grows very quickly, Gerard. Is that true?
Well, yeah.
Some of the stuff, the sprout stuff?
Well, the wheatgrass, it grows like grass. It needs light once it gets to a certain point. And you have to read up on that, because you let it get too green, then all you can do is juice it. You can't eat it. You can eat it when it's younger. It'll keep you alive. It's very high in protein. But you also should be sprouting alfalfa, bean, mung. There's all kinds of sprouts. They grow in the dark. You want to kind of keep them in the dark. You leave them in the light, they get green right away, which puts chlorophyll, makes other vitamins in them, but they're most nutritious when they first sprout, and they're about an inch long. And they'll keep, if you keep them cool and you keep them wet, you can keep pulling them off for over a week. They don't go bad because they're alive. They're growing. They're live food. And I know all you meat eaters, because I'm one too. I mean, look at, you could grow it in the basement, in the dark. In 3 days, you've got enough sprouts you can eat, and it fills your stomach, and it gives you every vitamin and mineral that you need if you're mixing up all these different sprouts, and you can survive. And that first steak dinner that you get, or roadkill or whatever it is going to taste really good. And you're going to mix a little bit of that meat with those sprouts, and you're going to really appreciate it. If nothing else, you'll get really healthy. Anyway, I just had to get that in there. I'm sorry, Josh.
Okay, thank you. All right, I guess we'll move to Q&A. I don't know if you found any of the questions in the email, Gerard, because you should have been copied that also, questions at National Liberty Alliance. You should be getting a copy, and I got a copy. I know I got a couple questions. I'll look for them shortly.
Yeah, I didn't even get my email open tonight. I was having computer problems with that. I don't want to complain.
Well, these came in at least days and even a week ago. So, okay, let's take our first caller here. Lady PJ from Hawaii, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is PJ Stewart, and we had a win today in court. We had a lady from the call. Her name's Crystal. She might be on. She might not. She went into court today, and I only got to talk to her Saturday night and Sunday, and we put in just the pink slips. And she walked into court, and she said, "Am I a public servant?" The judge said, "No." She said, "Is there a grand jury here?" He said, "No, I am the grand jury." She said, "You have committed treason in open court. You're fired."
Wow.
They dismissed the case, and that was that. They had taken her property, and she paid it off. She had proof that she paid it off, and now one of these lending consortiums that violates people's rights all the time was going after her for the full amount of her mortgage she'd already paid off.
So, well, anybody with that kind of problem, by the way, but go ahead, finish up what happened. Anything more happened on that, or where's she standing with that?
They dismissed the case. The judge told her to go talk to the cops and talk to the attorney general, and he tried to get her to do the runaround. She didn't do it. So that's good. It okay. just takes a little bit of knowledge and to go in there and stand up for your rights, folks.
Yeah, anybody with a mortgage problem that with a mortgage company taking them to court, you know, you can get a hold of our IRT team, or I'm going to say IRC, Investigative Research Committee or team. Get a hold of those people and we'll work with you to help get a habeas corpus to pull you out of that court, and that'll prevent these mortgage companies from closing down on your homes. So we're ready to do that now, and we're planning for that. So, well, it's not going to take front row in what we're doing, because we really want the people who are going to jail or who are in jail, that they're going to be the first ones served to try to get them off that kind of a situation. Yeah, Gerard, go ahead.
That woman that won in court, was a mortgage case?
Yes, it was a mortgage case.
All right, so he dismissed the case, so she has to get... Now they have to give her paperwork saying they dismissed it. She has to
uh-huh.
get...
And they, actually, all she has to do is file a loaded title on her property.
Well,
and then
she
can't
do
touch it.
She can go down. She can go down and use forms and change it to private property, and that does the same thing without the research and all the other stuff that you have to do. It's hard to get done in the sense that they're going to not know what you're talking about and all this other stuff. But you have to push it. We haven't really dug too deep into where we would get the forms for this. We'll try to look into that. But there must be some form out there that you can take and to correct properties that's being mistitled. You see, if your title is in residential, you got to pay taxes. If your title is commercial, you have to pay taxes. If your title is in private property, no taxes. They don't tax you. You're off the tax roll. And that's a lot easier to do than to go through the allodial. And even going through the allodial titles, you know, you've got to do a lot of research and work. You're still going to have the same fight as you would trying to get them to place this information onto the records.
It depends on who you are. If you're the court watcher and you tell them what your rights are and you tell them what the consequences are of screwing you is, then they don't want to play with me. I love playing with them. It's so much fun playing with them. I can't imagine why the IRS doesn't want to play with me. I cannot imagine why the FBI runs for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, some people do know how to do things a lot more than others, but we all have to learn, and we all have to do what we got to do. So, you know, anybody that needs some help, we can help them in those things. All right, thanks for the call, PJ. We'll take our next caller. Appreciate it.
And we'll see you on Wednesday.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next caller, Elvira from New York. Go right ahead. Elvira, I'm pronouncing that right, ain't I? From New York, 919. Yes, go right
Elvia.
Ahead.
Elvia.
How do we pronounce that?
You pronounce it perfectly. Elvia, like Sylvia, except without
Elvia,
the
S. Like Sylvia. Okay, yes.
Yeah. Hi. Go thank ahead. You. How are you feeling?
Good, thank you.
Better? Okay. I had a question for the lady that says that that they won a case. Can you repeat, please, where that happened? What state and what court was it? And
yeah, we don't have her unchecked. If someone can find her and uncheck her, you know, we can give her a minute.
I'll try to touch base with her.
Yeah, she'll be at the Wednesday meeting. So, okay.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else? All right. Thanks for the call. We'll go to our next caller then. Let's see. James, it looks like. 434 number, James.
Yes. Hi. Crusade Radio, where angels fear to tread. We're,
hang on one second. Hang on one second. Gerard, do you see that his name has not been unchecked yet? Gerard, or is it unchecked on your screen?
On James, the guy that's talking right now?
Right.
It's unchecked. It's unchecked.
I see it unchecked, John.
Yeah,
okay,
well,
just so you guys know.
On mine too.
Just so you guys know, sometimes you hit that button and it's not unchecked on mine, but
and
I
that,
know
I went through
it
the
goes
whole call
anyway.
Like that.
That
okay, last
that's
time
okay.
The whole call was like that. Yeah.
All right, but we know that it's being it takes
right,
you just
right.
You'll see the check. But anyway,
okay.
Sorry, James, go right ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, we want to thank you for having your members come next Wednesday to our conference call. We want to tell you that there's a guy, Kevin Annette. Are you familiar with him? He's the person
familiar.
Who,
yep.
Yeah, he started the grand jury over in Europe, and he's indicted the Queen of England and also Queen Beatrice of the Netherlands and George Soros. Under common law grand juries. He's seeking to get together with you and your organization so he can get together and trade war stories and also process.
Well, he can call me at 845-233-6560, and I should be available most of the day tomorrow, but I'm trying to be available during the day. There are certain days, you know, the times come up and I get in meetings and I'm not, but you can try me then.
Okay, that's fantastic. Also, you mentioned something about food, and I want to do this quickly. You can actually go and buy books, look on Amazon, on wild edible plants. I've got one book by I forget who the author is and what the real title is, but you can find these wild edible plants. So if things get really bad, you can go right out into the woods and start picking things.
Go right out
edible.
To your front yard or your backyard and find it too.
There
I know we had I know at a Liberty Group meetings we did some survival stuff, and I remember one time we had this couple that came over. And just walked right outside into the yard, showing us into different places, different types of grass that's growing. That's actually food, and you can
exactly.
Survive on that if you can identify them. But you got to be careful and make sure you don't misidentify some of
yes.
them. Could be a problem.
Yes. Is,
but that's a good idea about the book. What's the name of the book? Maybe you can tell us. And
it's in my bug out bag in the car, which I always.
Right, well, maybe
so
next
I,
week if you can get a chance, you can get the info and
oh, yeah.
type in to get it to us so
absolutely.
We can let people know. I'm interested myself in buying a book. So.
Okay,
so
there's another book out there. There's another book out there, too, that tells you wild medicinal plants. And that's going to be something you're going to need because you can't go to a drugstore when this stuff goes down.
Right. Well,
so
there you go again. If you got that book, too, we'd like to know about it. And you know what? Send me an email when you can. Give me the information if you can get the name of the book, the author's name, and that kind of stuff. And I'll go out and purchase them myself also. And then I'll get that information up online where people can go and Google it for the best price, you know, somewhere.
Okay. Now, Doug Millar asked me to ask you and to ask your members. He wants to get together with you, and we're getting together with Kevin Annette, and there's a talk show host out in California that we've tied into, and he's got 1.2 million listeners, and we're getting together with his network. He recorded the last Wednesday show and had it out on Facebook. Had 400 hits before it was taken down by the opposition. So you know the issues we're dealing with, child sacrificial sexual abuse and things of that nature. So it's a very important issue that we can tie your members in with and even start these court cases, because these people at the top who are pretty much the judges and the people who are running both national and international government corporations, or actually governments, are tied into the satanic group, and we're looking to prosecute them in that manner. But Doug wants, would like for you, I think you have Doug's number, when you get free time, give him a call and talk to him about networking.
Yeah, he's called me a number of times, but he always seems to call me on a Monday night right in the middle of this thing, so I guess he's not aware of our call. So if you do talk to him, tell him to give me a yell, and just don't do it on a Monday night. It's best during the days.
I just want to say that we did have one of our members who did, Kevin Annette was in New York City here about a year ago. We had people go down there to see him, and the one guy didn't get to see him, but one guy did. So I know that they've talked to him. I can't remember the guy's name, John, but I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have talked to him in the past. He might not have known he was talking to us, okay, because the guy might not have identified himself as such, but nevertheless, we had two people down there. So we are familiar with his word and his works, and you know, if he wants to call, we'd be glad to talk to him, John, or myself.
Okay.
Okay, I don't want
to... I hope he's in the queue. I sent him a email on the time and the name of your organization, and I put a link in for your website. So he's got all the pertinent information, and he seems to be more contactable, or I can contact him a lot easier via email. But I have his phone number too, and I'll give him a call and give him his number and pass along the pertinent information.
Right. Okay.
Those are the two major issues that I wanted to speak to. There were others from last week that I can't remember. Work. Thank you, John, for all your help, and have your people show up tomorrow at 8 o'clock on our listener line, and we hope to be supporting you in any way we can, and I'm going to be looking more at your legal paperwork, so once we get these pedophile judges and everybody else, we're going to start processing the paperwork.
Okay, thanks for the call, James. Appreciate it.
Okay. You're on broadcast, too.
Okay, thank you. All right, let us take our next caller, Don, coming in off of VoIP, V-O-I-P dialer, right on the internet. Don?
No, I'm afraid it's not Don.
Not Don. Well, that's what you got written down here. Don, V-O-N.
I'll be darned. My name is Christopher Bruce. I'm from Iowa.
How you doing, Chris from Iowa?
Hello?
Gary, you're coming in and making a lot of noise. Go ahead, Chris, from Iowa, I think you said?
Yes, that's correct.
Go right ahead.
I wanted to know, first of all, I designed a new logo for Ron Flick. I was wondering if you guys were going to implement that at all and put it on buttons or caps or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't know anything about what you're talking about yet. I guess it hasn't hit me yet, so I don't know.
Oh, and John, I just wanted to ask how you were doing.
I'm doing good, thank you.
Well, very good, very good. Everything, getting a lot better, I hope. Glad to have you back. I also wanted to know, I wanted to ask you about something that I've heard of just recently. I'm more on the CPS side of things. We've had our daughter stolen from us last year. We were wondering, I heard a guy talking out in California on a radio show that I co-hosted the other day. His name was Judge Curry. He was from Colorado, actually, not California. He was talking about salvage liens. What's your position on salvage liens?
I don't understand. Give me a little description of what a salvage lien is.
Oh, you talking? Okay. It's basically putting putting a lien against their bonds of oath.
Yeah, you can do that as long as you do due process. I mean, I don't know about prematurely putting a lien on their oath. You can do due process pretty quickly, although it's an uphill battle in the court. Anytime you do anything, I mean, you know, there are certain things like you can do a mechanics lien, and it's accepted in the business, you know, and in the judicial process that if you have money invested in a contract and things are going forward and you have a problem, you could do what's called a mechanics lien. I'm not familiar with any other lien you can prematurely bring forth a lien on prior to going through the due process.
Right, and John.
But I'll have to look at that. I don't know.
Yeah, John. There is a process for doing a lien, and the first process is notification. Second part of the process is notification. The third part of the process is notification, and if you miss any one of them, you're going to jail.
Right.
Okay. Oh, really?
I mean, do right. not pass go. Do not.
Yeah, in today's environment, I'd be very careful with that. Even if you did follow the process. So it sounds like hold on. It sounds like you have to do what's called a notice and demand, and then a notice of default, and or maybe a second. Maybe even give him a second choice, a second chance at it. But then you have to do your notice of demand, and then a notice of default, and then notice of your intention, which all needs to be written up inside there. And that sounds like it's a legal way you can get the lien onto onto a bond or something like that with a judge or whatever the case may be. But you still can't take control of that or sell that as a note. You still have to go into the process, into the court. All you're doing is leaning as a first liener is what you're doing. It doesn't mean that you could take any money from anybody or anything of that nature.
I'm not trying to take any money from them. I'm actually, yes, and I do know about the, I do have a full sheet of instructions on how to handle this particular lien and all that stuff. And basically, the first subject was notice of default and dishonor, and then there's a rights of salvage demanded.
Well, you have to start first with a notice and demand, and then maybe you move to the next at end of default and so on. And then, you know, how I would settle up on it at that point, if you went through that process, then I would go in and I do a open up court of record. It would have to be in the state court. But a court of record, and do what's called an Article 79, I think it is, or 78, Article 78, I think it is, and which is really a show cause. And you go in with a show cause why a judgment shouldn't be granted against you, because, and you bring up all the paperwork of all of that you have done, and then they have to respond to that. Now, if they default on that, that makes it legal. I mean, you got all that paperwork. You got to make sure you have a good wherefore clause, and you want to be tied up with the wherefore clause equal with all of the statements and details that you put in your notice and demand and the default and all that other stuff. So it all harmonizes. And then when you bring it to that point, if they do default at that point, and they're not going to default at that point, they'll tell you what they're going to do. But if they did default at that point, then it's only a matter of going down and seeing the clerk and filing a default judgment with a sworn affidavit concerning the fact that they defaulted, and then they can give you the necessary judgment papers, as long as the paperwork is clear and the numbers aren't too extremely high. I don't know how that part works, but in any event, once you get your judgment, then you can go to the sheriff and you can make your collection. And if your collection is off of a lien for a bond, obviously. You'd be going to the bonding company for that. But now, what's going to happen, though, once you get to that point, is they'll call up their buddy judge or something, and they'll pull you in for a conference, and you'll have to object to the whole process because they're going to really want to try to do a summary judgment. Okay. They'll go move towards having it thrown out, or they'll give a summary judgment in a way not for you, of course. But they'll try to get the case thrown out. So that is a problem, and that's an uphill battle, and then you have to know the next step from there, how to deal with that, because then it becomes a violation of your due process rights.
I just want to say something real quick. I wouldn't put a salvage lien at this point on any judge or anybody like that myself, unless I had criminal charges on him, and I knew that I had him.
Oh, believe me, I've got criminal charges.
Right, and what you want to do is you want to have those criminal charges moving forward before even. You know, the salvage lien is sort of after the fact, getting the money, you know, letting them know that you're gonna get restitution for that. But, you know, you want to make sure you've got criminal charges, because that way there it's harder for them to bypass you or come back at you or whatever. You know what I mean? You got them on the run, and then you file that. That's how I would feel comfortable doing it. I wouldn't use it to coerce him to do anything, you know, in the beginning of a fight. I'd have to have him on his back tapping out before I gave it to him.
Well, it's not the beginning of a fight. As a matter of fact, we're in the Supreme Court for appeals, and it's just gotten to the point where it's just absolutely ridiculous to deal with these people, and they just aren't giving me any justice whatsoever. They're ruling against everything I put in. They don't want to talk about anything. They don't want to deal with any of this.
That's the way they run. They run all cases the same way. We all have the same problem. They do the same thing. They steamroll us, and it's the same thing. So, you know, what we see, look at it. If you're about to lose your house, we can now help you with that. We could do habeas corpus. If you're about to lose your liberty, we could do something about that with the habeas corpus. There's a lot of things. And bear in mind, the habeas corpus, because they are going to default, there's just no way they can answer the questions or the requirements that they have to require. They have to show by what authority. There are a lot of things they need to show. And they have to do it under sworn affidavit, which they will never do. Never, ever. Okay, yeah. So they will always default, and then you get out of the system. Now, that default brings you to the next step of your now you could take and go for restitution, because you've already won the case ultimately, because they defaulted on the whole process and you were released.
Exactly.
And so now you can go towards getting into restitution. But you have to be very careful. You have to write all the papers right. You got to get a good wherefore clause. You have to be reasonable. And then you have to follow the right process after that. But what I say is the best thing to do, look, get yourself out of the trouble, out from under the clutches of the IRS if they're taking you to court or some criminal court or your mortgage, you're losing your house. You know, once you get safety, get to the safety. What you should be spending your time with is working with National Liberty Alliance, getting into the courts, because that's when you're really going to get your restitution. On the other side, when we get into the courts and bring common law back in and reestablish Article 6 of our Constitution.
Hey, okay. John. Hey, John.
Yes. Yes.
You need to stop this call. This is not somebody you want to be talking to.
All right. Well, whatever. All right, we appreciate the call. What was your first name again?
Christopher Bruce.
Okay, Chris. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, go to our next caller.
That's not
Ricky,
who it was, John.
From Missouri. But that's okay. We should be talking in the background.
All right.
Ricky from Missouri.
Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing, Ricky?
Oh, pretty good. I have red training on my mind. You know, all the things that one page with that one writ training on it, and I was, well, we really need to get that going, it seems like to me.
Well,
everybody concerned, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, look, we've got a lot of things going on. We do need more help. We need more volunteers, so on and so forth. And we need people, and we need lots of people to get educated. We're trying to educate people, and it's happening. It's going a little slower than hoped. We're behind in everything. As far as my clock is concerned, we're behind everywhere. But ultimately, I've come to realize we're not behind at all. We're right on time. Because it's not our timing, it's God's timing. And when all of these little things get in our way and it prevents us from getting this done or that done or reaching that point or reaching this point, and we push it ahead again, that's all those things are things we can't control. So God's in control of those things. And at the right time, everything's going to happen. And we're coming very close to the right time, I think. But again, I don't know what God's will is specifically on those details, but we'll have to wait and watch them unfold, and I'm comfortable with that. You know, I got a sign on my desk that says, "Relax, God is in charge," and that's a reminder to me that don't get too stressed out or pressured up because you're not accomplishing your goals as quick as you want to or would hope to do them. So, but it's coming, and we are very, very close to that process. I think they've had some meetings. And, hang on a minute. I think they've had some meetings. When I say they, I mean the IRT team, trying to get things going for starting to train people. But we're still in the process of really accomplishing their training and getting them ready, which should happen very quickly. Hopefully now that I think we finally got the paperwork, finally settled in a way that makes it easy for everyone to be able to become educated in this very quickly. But I'm waiting, and hopefully tomorrow I'll get a copy of the final paperwork, and I'll go through it again one more time with some others to make sure that we've crossed all our T's, dotted our I's, and then we're going to start filing papers like we've never filed them before all over the nation, and lots of papers on lots of different kinds of cases, and again, particularly criminal cases where people are being held or about to be sentenced to jail, those kind of cases, people who are ready to lose their homes, people who've lost their children. Those are the cases we're focusing in on. We're not getting involved with anything else, because anything else can wait till we get to the other side. But when it comes to liberty or losing your home and definitely losing your children, those things we have to act on quickly. You know, we've been hearing these stories for years now, and we haven't been in a position, nor have we felt that we really actually had the knowledge to really help all these people, nor the time. But now that we've got all these committees going, and we've learned we're learning every day. Literally, we are learning every day. And what we know today, we may not have known 3 months ago, and sometimes we may not even have known it yesterday. But I want to tell you, we know things today that 3 or 4 months ago we didn't really realize, or, you know, it just didn't click for us, especially this thing with the habeas corpuses. I mean, on the one hand, we feel we should have been doing this earlier, but on the other hand, it was too premature for us. Because, look, we didn't have any pressure on these people. We didn't have any clout on these people. They didn't really know anything about us, and they would deal with us quite differently. But now that we've made our mark everywhere in all 94 district courts and every single county and every single state judge, they've heard of us. They know about us. They're aware of us. And some of them may still be sleeping, maybe didn't read the papers, didn't pay attention, but basically they know about us. And so now they're concerned, they're looking at us, they send their spies here, I'm sure they're listening in right now. And we let them know we're coming, and they need to bring the message to the people. We are about to send out another paper very, very shortly, and we're going to start faxing a lot of information on two papers that we filed already and we served already. On the focused people, but we haven't copied all of the 12,500 yet. So those papers will be going out shortly. But in that paper, we're letting them know that the olive branch is still available. And that olive branch will be available until the last minute. When we get to that point and we take the control, because we will take control of our nation again. We, the people, will take control. And we're going to do it lawfully. We're working off the authority, ultimately, that is written out in the Declaration of Independence. It is our duty to step up and take this back and bring control back to the people. And we're going to do that. And once we do that, any one of these people that are in office right now, 12,500 of you, every one of those people that have not got behind us and start working and helping and assisting us, well, we see them as the enemy, and we'll be removing them from office as we go on, soon as possible, and many of them will be held liable and accountable for all of their sins because they're all guilty of fraud because they're silent. They are silent, not a peep from any of them. So we'll see where we go. Stress and the pressure is on, and, the olive branch is still there, but soon it's not going to be available.
Yeah, well, it's, thanks for all you're doing, John, and I just thought the writs getting in each community, you know, somebody able to write writs in a community would be able to help at bottom level, you know.
Absolutely. Well, the training we're setting up right now is we've got, so many instructors, X amount of instructors, and those instructors will be teaching maybe 25, 30 people a piece, and we'll be looking for more instructors to create more and more and more, and ultimately, yes, these writs should be written right from the local level, from the county level. But until they learn how to do it, and until they understand the process and the procedures of the court, and they get educated, they can't do it on their own. But we have people who are becoming qualified in this, and they're going to be qualifying more people, and at some point there'll be an explosion of that. So we're on that road, and we do know we need to eventually remove away from the unified United States common law grand jury and go right down to the county grand jury. So, you know, the grand jury of whatever county it is that you live in. But also we need people within those counties. So bear in mind, we need people to sign up and become administrators and take on those jobs. They're professional jobs. They will have a professional salary with it. But there is a training that's required. The first course is 120 hours. Take the civics course. We have the writing course that's going to be getting going very shortly. And then we have the constitutional course, which we have two constitutional courses inside the civics course. But we're going to have something more specific on a line-by-line course of the Constitution. Hopefully we'll get that going soon. So,
Can I say one more thing here, John, and I'll get off there? I would like to get involved with the learning of the writ writing, you know, so I can help others to do the same.
Get connected with the IRT. Go up to our directory and go look for IRT and give a call to someone in the IRT and let them know you want to join in. We're looking for as many people as possible to learn this stuff. And just let them know you want to get into the course to learn how to write these things, and they'll get you in and give them some volunteer time if they need any help on anything, and just pay attention and learn. We also want to stay focused. You know, we have lots of groups out there, lots of different things happening, and it's very easy to get lost in conversations and start talking about this and talking about that, and then we start losing people. And especially if we talk about things that, you know, NLA is not teaching, then people get confused and we get poison back into our system. And we want to keep the poison out. Anything we do is researched thoroughly.
Yeah, and stay on point in your discussions, I think.
Yep, stay on point. So.
Thanks for all you do, John.
Okay. Have Thanks a lot, Ricky. Appreciate the call.
Have a good one.
You too. Okay, next caller, Fred from California.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
How are you? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
Need I say you were in our prayers deliberately and fervently so that you would be well.
Appreciate
your healing is, you have your healing. It was nailed to the cross with him.
Amen.
Listen, we want to thank you. Our package is complete, I understand, and ready to be served
on
the Ninth Circuit.
I'm actually working on that right now. Hopefully it'll be completed tomorrow, and then it'll go through that process getting out in the mail. So, yes.
Right. It looks like it's going to service on the 10th.
That's the plan, yes.
Yeah, so everything is lined up, and I want to thank you for your expedition and just getting on the ball there. Kurt just celebrated his 10th year, and Scott's a little over 10 years. But they're excited. We haven't talked with Kurt. Kurt is in absentia right now. He's not communicating with anybody. The prison said that they couldn't hold up his mails, and we knew that, his mother and I. And subsequently, I don't know if he's on his own sabbatical, but I wrote him and said, look, if that's what you want, we'll agree with you for the time being. But his last note to me was, Dad, the silence is of the Lord. And so we're just excited. We're just looking for something good to happen. I want to get administratively involved. Wherever you can plug me in right now, I'm a doorknob shiner right now, but I'm a good educator, and I educate well and quick. And so wherever you can plug me in, wherever you need me, wherever you need
me,
I've got
call,
plenty.
Work with the IRT team. I think you'd fit in.
I shall.
We need a lot of leaders there, and we do have some good leaders now, and we're looking for people with certain skills, and so that's the place we could probably use you.
Okay, and let me give you a scripture for your benefit for the rest of the month. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Things you talked about tonight, Peter is very explicit in his command of what we're to do in that case, and I submit that when it's all said and done, and you've done what his admonition is, your attitude will be not in a rude way or a contentious way, but I could care less, and that's because you don't have to care for something that he's caring for.
Well, amen. Yeah, yes, we the only job that we have to do is just do the right thing. Every moment of your life is a decision. Just make the right decision with the Lord in mind, and you're good as gold. Everything else works out because God's in charge of the rest of it.
That's exactly right.
The pilot, you know.
Amen. Okay, all right, God bless you guys. Enjoy the call, and I'll get the IRT on the line and see what I can do to get administratively hooked up.
Okay, thanks, Fred.
God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. Ed from Connecticut, how you doing? You got the mic.
Hey, hi, John. Good to hear your voice.
The same.
Thank you. I just want to touch base on people losing their homes. You know, on the taxes. I know I've spoken about this before. And I just wanted to say, before I get into that, to give people motivation and talking points to get behind National Liberty Alliance. Because if you look at it, you know, so many things you said, you know, why, you know, we need to do this. And get behind National Liberty Alliance. But, I always like to add to it to give people extra motivation when they're telling people, because I want to see hundreds of thousands, millions of people in this organization. And one thing, just keep in mind what our leaders are doing. And this is real quick. You know, in 2005, 6, 7, when we were starting to get in trouble, they know that we're in trouble. We had the bailout, $750 million bailout. So we're in trouble, right? But with them knowing that, they're still not only not reducing the taxes or maintaining it, they're actually increasing it. So if that's not enough to show what these people are all about, how are you... For all these years, it's going to be like almost 10 years that you see that we're in trouble and that we don't have a way of even making money anymore. So, and they know that because we've lost.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. You know, I've been in the construction field most of my life and as a contractor and as a construction manager. And it literally got to the point as a contractor, I was losing money. I just couldn't make the money because you can only charge people so much. And right. And everything was inflation and control and risk factors and insurance and the tax man on you all the time. And you just can't get anywheres. And even in the construction management, I was doing pretty good there towards the end. But you know, the money isn't the way it was. And it's just really, really hard. You can only charge people so much. So it's rough out there, and they've totally destroyed the middle class, which is their plan. Okay, there's only super rich or poor, and that's it. They're very little in between. I mean, there is some people, but basically, there is no more middle class, it seems. And that was part of their plan that they had to do, and they've done it. They've succeeded. So,
so think about it. Now, it's like we don't have a fair and equitable society to be able to make money. So them knowing this, it's just obvious to everyone. So while that's happening, you're raising taxes? You see what I mean? If that's not enough.
Well, that's because they want to destroy us. I mean, look, they can't stop.
Right.
They got to hit us from every way they can, and they are. But you know what? We're coming back at them, and we're very close, and we're going to succeed by God's mercy. And I just want to bring us back to this. And I know, you know, some people, and very few of us, but there are some that get irritated with bringing in God all the time. But I'll tell you what, I think I'm going to be bringing him up more and more because I want to tell you, if we don't fix ourselves and fix our hearts first, we're done. We are not going to succeed. Nobody has ever, no nation has ever had no people has ever had common law, and that actually was real common law without God. There's only three nations that ever had it. Once was Israel. They had it for 400 years. England had it for a while, not very long at all. They lost it very quickly. And America had it, but we had it for a very short period of time also. And why? Because we lost our way. We lost our focus. Look at if God isn't king of the court, then some man is, and that's the bottom line. And the hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know it? These people for power and lust of power and lust of money, these are the positions and the controls that they're going to go for, is to control you, control me. And that's what's happened. We have a small group of people that actually prepare and write the law, and they use the Bar Association to take total control of the entire judicial process. They've constructed a statutory prison, and we've all been statutorily incarcerated. You can't walk down, you can't drive down the road without getting into a situation here or there. And we have to take all this back and bring the king back into the court. And then we go in and we act under his principles, a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. We rule in his name, and now we have justice. And then all of this goes away. But we don't have to worry about fixing these problems and battling them. I mean, we just go in there and bring justice back into the court, apply the Constitution, and job done. Job done.
Right.
It is that simple.
Well, yeah. if you know your enemy, you also know that they're feeding your children satanic worship. You know what I mean? They're blatant with it now. And so, these are the ones that are going to take up the torch from us. So you have to train your children what's going on. They're literally stealing their minds through their entertainment, literally. If you have kids and you don't know what they're doing, guess what? You're not going to save this nation, because if we don't have enough young people coming up that know their enemy, and they believe me, it's powers and principalities, and there's great enticement on the other side to do the wrong thing. There's money, there's drugs, there's everything, and believe me, they're working on the youth. They ain't working on you and me, buddy. We're done. They're done with us. And so it's up to us to instill that knowledge down to the millennials. Look at, we're the baby boomers. We're the biggest group. We're on our way out. And the millennials are the next biggest group coming up. And some of them are so woefully ignorant, it's not funny. And it's nobody's fault but our own. It's the parents. It's the teachers. It's us who are supposed to be mentoring them. So that's important, everybody. You gotta bring this down and look at, and get to know your enemy. Get to know what they're shoving down our throats in the music, in the entertainment. They're showing everything. They're showing us what they're gonna do, and the kids are getting lost in it. They're committing suicide. They're demoralized. It's disgusting. And let me tell you, it's worse than you ever could think it was. It's worse because it goes higher and wider than you ever could imagine throughout the world. It's really, really bad. So it's very important to get back to those fundamental principles, because look at, we're being destroyed. Eventually, there won't be any of us left.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, no, listen, I agree with that, what you just said, Gerard, and of course what John was saying about us being the proper type of person, because I've said before where, in other words, why are people surprised when there's corruption in government? Where do these people come from? They come from the private sector, where there's corruption in the private sector. So, of course, there's going to be corruption in the government. And that's why, like what John said, it has to come from us. We have to be better people. But what I wanted to say tonight was, leading in to with the taxes, I wanted to motivate people that when they're talking to anyone, you're seeing people every day, and it's about getting so many people involved. Just this, everything that you guys have been saying from the beginning, it is great. And then on top of that, that our government, look what they're doing. We don't have a fair and equitable society to make money. And during this period of time, the last 10 years, you're then raising the taxes? How is that even possible?
Well, that's what the enemy does. I mean, look at, they're taking us out completely. They're just wiping us out every way they can.
But
spiritually,
you see,
morally, economically, politically, judicially, every aspect of life they are destroying. And even that we're totally broken, those areas, they're still not done. They're still destroying. And they're not going to stop until we make them stop.
Right, exactly. And see, that it actually works in our favor that they're so outrageous, because it makes
at
it
this
so
point you're right. Yeah, then it becomes obvious. Yeah.
Thank you. You see, you're like finishing my words, right? Exactly. And exactly. So that's why these are the kind of talking points to tell all our neighbors, all our people, everyone on this call, if they could talk about this. It's just so outrageous and obvious that these people are out of control. And like I said, we could change that. There's no doubt. People we have, and this thing about, imagine being that you're, you know, thrown out on taxes on something that you own. And now remember, these are the people that are trying to do well. And now if you take them from their home, like you're saying, that's their plan. Then we're weakened, because how is it? It's very difficult for us to be able to, you know, get together and forge ahead when we don't have a place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine owning a home completely, outright, and then mm-hmm. losing because of taxes. And you see, here's the thing. Where is the limit? Like, in other words, even if there was, let's just say you were going to have a tax. Not saying that we should, but let's just say you were. Shouldn't there be a limit of what it could be on percentage of value?
Well, first of all, most of their taxes are illegal, so that's the key problem here,
right,
is that taxes are illegal. And no government needs as much money as we, the people, give to them.
Exactly. But
see, none of that money is going to benefit any of us. They spend very little of benefiting us.
That's right. But just to show again, John, how outrageous they are, even if you were going to have a tax, it would just be a very nominal fee. And it would be limited. Where was the limit of percentage?
Well, you know, here is the thing. You know, first of all, we got to bring back to the government taking control of coining money and follow the Constitution. The Constitution lays it out. We just follow the Constitution. The rule book is right there. Then we require them to do nothing beyond what authority we've given them to do, and we file that as far as the legislators are concerned. They're the ones that create all these problems with taxes and all of this stuff. Once we hold their feet to the fire, and that's who we're going out after next, by the way, is we're going after our legislators in Washington, D.C. There's, what, I think 530 of them or 540. And those are the people that are out of control. They're creating laws and having acts and all kinds of different things going out there through legislation, and yet they have no authority to do it. And once we start to apply Article 1 against them, and force them into obedience, now they're only going to be able to seek out taxes to control those things. And then that has to be accounted for. And this is, you know, obviously, I think everyone that comes visits us and are members of ours, I think they all know that anything that the IRS collects has nothing to do with we the people as far as paying any bills or anything. Those taxes, that's all profit. Every dime they collect is profit for them.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
And we have to understand that. But our solution is really very simple, and we get our marching orders right out of the Declaration of Independence, right up on top by the preamble. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, and certain unalienable rights. And therein is common law. This is natural law. And by the way, you know, I've heard people talking and saying that, you know, we should be talking about natural law, that common law is something else. And, yeah, they do have a definition of common law in England. They have a definition of common law here in America. It has nothing to do with the truth. Both of them are lies and frauds. And, you know, in England, they worked for a long time to subvert that whole process. But common law is that which is common to men, the law of the heart. We're all common in that way. We know in our hearts what the law is. So that's where the common law starts. It's common to all men. It's natural law given by God. So natural law and common law are synonymous. But it goes on that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. And that's why we got government, for only one purpose, to secure life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Government has no other purpose other than that. Okay, and that when any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, and indeed they have become destructive in these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation in such principles and organizing it, its powers in such a form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So you see, we are at that point where this government has become destructive to the ends of its purpose, totally destructive, and therefore it is our right to alter it. And that's what we're doing. There's nothing wrong with our government per se. Our government still exists. The structure is still there on every level, from the federal level all the way down to the village. It's all there. The only problem is the people filling the servant seats. They think that they have become the master, and they actually act that way. Every time I talk to a judge, I get sick to my stomach. I want to throw up because they talk to you as if they're the boss and that they're the king. I mean, they don't realize, they forgot by, you know, where they've come from, that they work for us. We don't work for them. They work for us. But that's the problem. The problem is not with our government. It's with these tyrants that have taken control of our government and the useful idiots that they've got planted in almost every seat in Congress and every political position out there. They filled people with useful idiots or people that they've got things on, people who have a lust for money and power, and their super egos. These are the people that are drawn to this, and these are the people that they make sure get elected. They really don't care whether the guy on the right wins or the guy on the left wins, because they control both sides, and they really don't care. So they still got control of the whole process. We need to take it back, and the only way we can take it back is through the courts. You know, when Rothschild was out there saying some couple of hundred years ago, and he said, give me control of the people's money, of the money, and I don't care who makes the laws, because he knows if he can control the money, he can pay them off, because everybody seems to have a price. Only God's children get to that point. There is no price for me. Offer me $1 billion. There's no price for me. You can't make a number for me. That why would I want to give up my soul for money? You know, and so you know, he said, "Give me control of the nation's money, and I don't care who makes the law." But I want to tell you, there was smoke and mirrors there, and it was something he never spoke about, and something that we've come to realize. They can control the money, but if they don't control the courts, they can't do nothing. Okay, and so they had to control the judiciary, and that of course is the purpose of the bar. It's a communist organization, at least communist run, and it's controlled by the elite. The laws are written by them. It's put through the process. Our elected individuals, they don't even read the law. Forget about writing it. And that's a problem, you know, and therein is the problem. But we need to fix the problem by taking control of the courts and getting rid of all these people.
I want to just raise the bar real quick. Not only is it our right to do it, it is our duty. It is our duty to fix it or reinstitute it. It's that bad. When you have a duty to do something and you don't do it, that's serious. So,
then right, if we're not doing
okay,
it,
I think we got to move on to the next caller. So finalize it, Ed.
God bless. Just finalize by saying, of course, 100% on everything both of you said, and maybe I'll be able to call you tomorrow to specifically just try to help somebody out from losing a home, just on some simple things to just throw something.
Well, if someone is out there losing a home, get them in touch with the IRT team, and let them help, and they'll work through the process. And we're teaching people, you know, to take care of these things so that at some point, you know, those of us on the upper end don't have to pay too much attention once we are confident that these people understand how to do it and they're teaching others the right way. That's where we need to be. We have to teach each other. And it's not just in that area. We have to teach each other in many, many areas. So, you know, So have them get a hold of the IRT team. And let me take the opportunity at this moment to make a few points. A lot of people call me or write me letters or send me email or, you know, all kinds of things. And, you know, to help them with this or that, or they have questions or concerns about this or that. Go to the directory. We're creating, you know, committees everywhere and groups everywhere to deal with all these problems. And so go there first to get your help there. and then work your way up the line if you can't get your proper answer, but you should be able to. And because I can't deal with everything, obviously, and there's a lot of people out there well qualified now that are able to deal with a lot of these problems and give some answers and situations and assistance. And so make use of our directory, please. And we're going to be making that directory a little more easier to work with as time goes on. We're also trying to give information on the specialties of certain peoples and certain groups or committees, so that when you look into a committee and you have a specific problem and you go through the list of people and you see a little bit of what their expertise might be, you know, you'll get a hold of the correct person you're looking for, and that can assist you best. So anyway, Ed, send them through the IRT. Okay.
Thank you, Gerard.
Okay, thank you, Ed. Let us go to our next caller, Karen from Pennsylvania. How you doing, Karen?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing well. It's Karen from Pennsylvania.
Good. Yep, I see you.
Yep. thank you for speaking with me on Saturday. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Appreciate it.
if you recall, we did speak. I tried to recuse the Luzerne County bench due to the amount of judges reported, people have gotten fired, et cetera, for the crimes they committed. So I'm not going to get a fair hearing. So when I filed the recusal, the judge who was doing motions court got the court administrator, and then they told me I had to take it up to the judge that it just really got me good. And that let you know that the present judge was under investigation for a year. Mm-hmm. So the same day I got the denial, I got a certified letter from the IRS. I did as you directed me to do and contact the investigative committee, and I did send the Excel sheet in.
Mm-hmm. Well, are they pulling you into court yet?
Yeah, I have a fake DUI coming up.
Huh?
I have a, quote, fake DUI. It's not my blood. I have my blood.
Okay. No, but I mean so, the IRS thing. Are the IRS pulling you into court yet?
I don't know what they're doing. I have to go pick up the letter, which I'm,
okay.
I can't imagine.
Because with
I haven't
the IRS, look, at you want to try to answer the IRS. Whenever they send you anything, give them an answer, because it's the silence that keeps them moving and gets you closer and closer into the court. But definitely answer them, and don't give them any jurisdiction over you, and let them know that they don't have jurisdiction. But at some point, they will start moving into – usually what they'll try to do first, if they have a number on you that they're looking to get, they're going to move in for liens first. That's their first movement. And then after they start to apply the liens, then they go forward with trying to pull you into the courts, and that's when they do criminal things, so on and so forth. And that's when we can really get involved. But if they're going forward with a lien, if they're threatening you with a lien, maybe we can assist you with that if you're at that point. And I'll talk with the people from IRT and work out a strategy for that.
Yes,
there is good strategies for that.
Yeah, he went over the two different strategies that we could go through, because they won't recuse the bench, and the other strategy. So the habeas.
Well, look at. Remember, every court you go into in the United States that they're bringing in you into is a foreign court. It has nothing to do with us. So the jurisdiction they don't have. You know, you go into these courts, you know, if they're pulling you into the courts, you ask them, is this a criminal court? You know, is this criminal charges? Is there and if they say no, then you say, well, then there's no potential fine or incarceration for this, correct? And then, of course, they're going to change their tune. Oh, well, we can do that. And then the next step, of course, is, you know, it was brought up a little earlier, you know, is there an indictment? Where's the grand jury? You know, have I been indicted? Of course, you know, all of these things, they can't go forward, really, but they're going to go forward anyway, because remember, that's their sandbox, and you got to get out of their sandbox. You got to bring them into your sandbox.
I'm trying.
That's the key. Well, no, you don't try. Just do it. It's very simple in a sense. When you go into a court, you object to everything. They are then going to tell you, you know, they're going to go forward, they're going to ignore you, and when you leave the court, you have to give them a writ of error, and you have to overrule the judge in that writ of error. Never do it in the courtroom. You do it outside the courtroom on paper, because once you put it on paper, it's harder for them to find you for contempt of court, whereas in the courtroom, they can play around with words. So never do it in the courtroom. Never do it verbally. You overrule the judge. You write a writ of error, overrule the judge, and then you go to the federal court, sue them for violating your unalienable right of due process and conspiracy to do the same, because the judges and the lawyers all working together, that makes a conspiracy. You only need two people to make a conspiracy. That removes mm-hmm. them from the bench and removes the individual that's prosecuting them, and then you go back one more time and you see who's there and you say, well, look, what jurisdiction? You don't have jurisdiction. I want you to close this case down. They know what happened before, and hopefully they'll get rid of the case. If not, you do the same thing again. But that's the way you deal with it. You've got to get out of the jurisdiction.
Yes, and they just won't let me because they know they're going to bezel me.
Well, you're facing jail, right?
No. Mm-mm.
What are you facing?
Actually, yeah, 72 hours in prison.
Okay, well then do a habeas corpus.
Yeah,
that's the simplest.
Yeah, that's the process. And then one other quick thing, in our county, the individuals that went to file the common law paper did not know where to go. I do know where to go. I looked at the Pennsylvania courts. A friend, passed that on. So I know where to file them. But they have the originals. So is it ethical for us to print out a new common law and file it and get a docket number?
I don't understand your question. What do you mean, a new plan?
Well, what they did is they printed out the common law papers to get it into the courts. They gave them the runaround because they knew they didn't know where to go. So they gave them the original, which is, with the notary and what have you, and kept them. So my question is, I know where to go to file it. So, is it ethical for us to print off on the website the common law, to get common law into our courts, get a docket, what have you?
Yeah, I'm lost. I'm still not following. You want to print what off for common law? I don't understand.
Okay, the paperwork to get common law into the court system.
Oh,
okay.
you have to open up a court of record. Do you know how to open up a court of record?
Yes, I do, sir. Yes.
Okay.
So
they
did it. The original people filed.
You've gone through the civics course, which in there is Bill Thornton teaching you how to open a common law. You've been through that course?
No, I didn't. I didn't take the course, but I know the process. You have to go through the court of deeds and blah 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 with this type of situation.
Okay. You can't just print out a paper off of the site to put it in. You need to understand, these are just examples. And you can use a lot of language, of course, and you have to mm-hmm. curtail it for your case. But you have to understand the pieces of it and what exactly you're doing, and you have to understand the argument, you have to understand jurisdiction. And these are not difficult things. It may sound difficult because maybe they're new to some people, and it sounds like there's a lot, but it really isn't a lot, and it isn't difficult. You hang around anything long enough, you start to pick up the lingo, so to speak. So, and it's no different with common law. Spend the time looking into it and studying it and reading and going through these lectures that Bill Thornton has put out and other things that we have going on out there and reading through our paperwork and stuff. And all of a sudden, it starts to click. All of a sudden, it's a click, and you wake up to it. So that's how you got to do it. So you have to really spend the time and understand where you're going with this thing. But it doesn't get any more difficult than jurisdiction. There's no reason to argue anything if they don't have jurisdiction. If they don't have the authority to hear the case,
mm-hmm.
why argue it? Why bother with it? I wouldn't bother with it at all. Just get out of the court.
Well, it's not just my case. It's they just want to get common law into the court system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, to get common, they're not going to give you common law. You have to take it. and you're going to end up, where you're going to end up taking it is going to have to be in the federal court. And even there, it's going to be an uphill battle. You're going to have to sue some judges, or they're going to realize that you're going to sue them. And what they'll try to do is settle the case outside of the court. Okay. That's what they'll try to do. They don't want to win on record, that's for sure. And but what, if the judge understands what you're doing in the lower courts, you find yourself in the federal courts, and you start writing the papers the same way you did in the lower courts, and he understands that, you'll probably have one hearing, and if he feels threatened by you, he'll probably tell the other side, fix it, make a deal, get out of here. And that court record will show that he actually throws it out, because he'll throw the case out after they come around the back door and make a deal with you. And they won't even really negotiate it with you. They'll give you what you're looking for, per se, to get out of there, because the judge told them to get this case out of my court.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it'll happen mostly. That's how it happened with me with the IRS.
Okay, so, excellent information. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Let me move to the next caller here. VOIP dialer caller. Go right ahead. VoIP caller. Someone calling in off of the browser.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing? What's your first name?
Richard in Iowa.
How you doing, Richard from Iowa?
Pretty good. You recently stated that anything we do involves haven't been researched thoroughly. Well, I found some errors in the citations of NLA's documents, and
okay.
I think our citations should be unassailable and impeccable, because if you send them up, for example, to the Supreme Court, and they see some silly errors, they're going to think that we're just a flaky group. So,
a couple of things. Our papers are very strong, they're very powerful, they're very specific, they're very researched, but it is true, from time to time we have errors. It could be errors in punctuation, it could be errors in spelling, it could be errors even in speech. Sometimes, you know, a sentence goes wrong somehow and it gets out, gets away and you put it in. It could be sometimes an error in picking up a court case, and maybe you picked up a misquote because you picked it up off of someone else. Most of the court cases that we do, we usually get most of them out of Black's Law. I know back in the fourth edition of Black's Law, at least from there and earlier, just about every word you look up, it's usually backed up by court cases. And once you start getting into the later times, I believe, and again, I don't dabble in them, like the seventh edition, I think, and I don't know how high they've gotten to, but I've heard about the seventh edition, for instance, they don't quote as much, jurisprudence anymore. But Black's Law has jurisprudence per se, and of course a lot of American jurisprudence, any U.S. decision that is appropriate and lawful and constitutional is part of American jurisprudence. But if we do have some error, we'll look to fix it. But bear in mind, no one's going to be perfect. I mean, even after we file a paper, you know, often as time goes on, we could have said it a little better, we could have said it a little different, or we find a little error here or punctuation there. And we do the best to keep it clean and as perfect as possible, but I know I haven't achieved perfection yet, so we're working on it.
as a matter of fact, when we were filing papers in the courts, we've had people tell us that there was errors in our sentences, and it was a sentence that we were quoting in a footnote that maybe a judge said or Jefferson said or the court said, and it was done that way in there. It was misspelled, misdone, but that is the quote that got put in Black's Law or whatever, or wherever we were quoting from. So we don't change them. If those things come through with an error and that's the way they're listed, we list them out like that, because that's actually what they're going by. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
we won't change a footnote because it has a bad punctuation, or sometimes people even think it's a bad punctuation, but that punctuation is what holds the whole meaning together. You know what I mean? And they don't always follow English grammar too. Like, look at what's a semicolon. What's that mean? A whole new idea coming up, right?
I'm not talking about punctuation errors. These are more significant. I can just run a few past you. Like this. This comes from the Common Law Jury Handbook, print ready.
Mm-hmm.
The first site is Barry versus United States. It really should be Byers versus United States. There's,
gotcha.
There's no barrier.
Yeah, and that is important because
how many how many errors do you think you have listed at this moment?
I've got about six of them.
You know, if you could email them to me, because the next time we run through the edition, we can fix them. You know, if are they all in the handbook or are they in some of the court cases too? I mean, we can't fix the court cases that are in, you know. So.
Yeah, most of these come from the Common Law Jury Handbook. I think there might have been one or two from elsewhere. I was looking at other things too. There's one that was really interesting. It was Cruden versus Neal. Well, you didn't actually cite the court's opinion. You cited the counsel for the prosecutor's opinion, which, of course, is not a valid opinion.
Yeah, I'd have to look at that. What exactly is the conclusion on that?
Well, the conclusion is you can't. What do you mean, conclusion? What was the
yeah,
statement?
Yeah, what was the conclusion, the statement, yeah.
The statement, every man is independent of all laws except those prescribed by nature.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that is in the, I'll have to take a look, but I'm pretty sure that is in the final, and, he, you know, there may have been other quotes and people talking, and it may be there too, and it may not have been as clear, and maybe the way that individual quoted it is clearer. You know, sometimes when you quote a court case and you pull points from two or three places. For instance, Marbury versus Madison, anything that is contrary to the Constitution is null and void. It doesn't really say that straight out. But when you read the whole paper, they do get to the fact that it's void. And that statement is still correct. So I'll have to look at that. But it's fine
if you don't put it in quotes. But when you put it in quotes, it means, well, that's the court's opinion. So you just right. have to be careful about quotes.
Well, send me a list of that because, again, most of my quotes, okay, come from Black's Law, okay? So I'm kind of very rarely would you have some mistakes coming out, from me through that. But there are other places. I have other sources that I've used over the years. I've collected a lot of cases, and I've collected a lot of quotes from cases. And some of those quotes from cases I hadn't checked out. But we did have someone doing a checkup on a lot of quotes, and we have pulled some out that we know that we felt a little uncomfortable with after we realized it's not that clear. But definitely we're interested. What else do you have?
What else do I have? Okay.
As far as a bad quote or something.
Yeah, let's see. I was scrolling here. I should have been. Okay, Self versus Ray. There are a couple of problems. Even though it's quoted, the quoted text is not in the opinion. The quoted text is the common law is the real law, the supreme law of the land. The code, rules, regulations, policies, and statutes are not the law. Well, I checked that case. It's not in there. And my opinion was that the case had nothing to do with statutes not being law. It wasn't being closed.
Well, that particular one, we did get corrected on that, but that happened after the production of the book. And I think we stopped quoting that in any of our court cases.
Okay.
So we have already corrected that, but we haven't corrected it in a book because the book went out to print.
And the next one I have here is Rodriguez versus Ray Donovan.
That was a hard one to find, but go ahead.
Yeah, it says all codes, rules, and regulations are for government authorities only, not human/creators, in accordance with God's laws. And two problems.
Right, that I believe was an extension really beyond the quote in itself, but definitely the case does cover that, but not quite that way, I believe. I know, again.
I guess we're talking about quoted text versus unquoted. So you have
right.
to be, distinguish them. And also, I, my opinion was that the case had nothing to do with the statutes not being law. I didn't think it was even close. Let's see. But that, you know, you have to check into that yourself. The next one, let's see, Mugler versus Kansas. The problem with this case is, even though it's quoted, okay, I can read a little to you, no provision of the Constitution is designed to be without effect. Anything that is in the Constitution is null and void. Clearly, for a secondary law to come in conflict with the supreme law was illogical. So it goes on from there. And again, even though it's quoted, there's no citation given. And if there's no citation, it's legally meaningless.
Right. Well, some of these things also could have come out of jurisprudence, but again, give me that list, and we will definitely correct and research some of it and correct what we have to correct. Some of this stuff, again, it's just a bad quote, but the essence of what's being said is still in the case usually. And again, you know, I know Marbury versus Madison. I always say null and void, but nowhere will you find those two words together in Marbury versus Madison. And Marbury versus Madison, it really made a lot of correction, and it really beat the heck out of the Judiciary Act 1789, even though a lot of it didn't get into a lot of other problems and specifics in, that were problematic in the Judiciary Act of 1789. But nevertheless, it was, as we know, Marbury versus Madison, one of the strongest and most powerful cases we have, and has been held for over 200 years, and is probably the most quoted case out there.
So I will email this to you. Also, I wrote an article. Actually, it's more a collection of citations and stuff. It was rather quickly thrown together. It answers the question, what is a statute? And it actually says that a statute is not a law. But it also
I'd like to see that article, too, if you could, you know, attach
it. Yeah, a lot of people, I'll send it to you, but a lot of people would like to see it.
If we like it, you wouldn't mind us posting it, right?
Well, yeah, you can do that. Or I can give you a
send
link.
Send it to me. I'll take a look.
You want me to give you a link so anybody can pick it up?
Send it to me in the email. You got my email, john@nationallibertyalliance.org, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
so that's all I had for you.
All right, well, we appreciate your corrections, and we will definitely look into these things and see what we can correct, you know?
Great.
So, thanks a lot. And what was your first name again?
Richard.
Richard from what state?
Jefferson County, Iowa. If it's named after Jefferson, it's got to be good.
Yeah, there you go. They almost had a state named Jefferson out west there. But anyway, okay, thanks a lot for calling, and appreciate it.
Bye.
Hey, bye-bye. Next caller. Gerard, you want to pick up for a while? I need to get some water and stuff, take a break. But we have someone calling in from Puerto Rico. You there, Gerard?
Yeah, you got to keep going. You're not done yet. No, I'll get it.
I'll be back in a minute. I just got to go get some water. My mouth is dry. I'm finished my bottle here. I'll be right back. Go ahead, Gerard.
Yeah.
Yes, hello?
Hello? I guess he clicked it already. Go ahead. This is, who's this?
Oh, hi. Well, actually, this is for John. He just left.
He can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I left him an email. I don't know whether he got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also send it to...
Fuck you.
Stop it. I also send it to questions at... the questions
National Liberty Alliance, yeah.
Yeah, and I also send it to John Rowe. I titled it Urgent.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about Karen Hudis. She's been locked out of the World Bank, and if you go in there, you can find it. Open the first link that's there. It's an email that she sent, I believe, to the chief of police, stating that it's an emergency. She needs to get into the World Bank. It's a matter of getting the world's money back to the people, and also to stop World War III. So it's very important. And I was wondering if there's anything. Oh, and then when I saw that on a post that she had on her Facebook page, I wrote to her and I said that she needs to go to the sheriff, you know, to try and get, you know, because it's the guards. The guards won't let her into the World Bank. And she said she wrote back, and I have it in the email. She wrote back. And an email to questions and to John, and she wrote back that she went to the sheriff many times, and he.
Well, let me stop you a minute. Where the world? You say the World Bank. You're talking about where?
Yes.
Down in New York City. Where is this place?
Montgomery County, in Montgomery County, Maryland.
So it's there, and that's the only. That's the only branch in Maryland, Montgomery County, of the World Bank.
They let her in.
Well, we have to find specifics. I don't know if they can stop you from coming into the World Bank. The World Bank is what scares me, because they shouldn't have jurisdiction over us. You know what I mean? I understand that the IMF is involved in this, but whoever these cops are that are keeping her out, they're probably a corporate police squad. They probably are not under the Constitution. But the thing is neither is the World Bank. You see, that's a problem. And if we have a contract with them, that's a different story. So you have to look at this in light of common law. I don't know what Karen's doing, and I don't know if she's playing with the fiction or what, but we would need
Gerard,
more information. Yes. Who's that?
It's she was supposed to be employed by them, and they locked her out of her office.
Right. I saw the whole Karen Udies thing. She spent years fighting them. I looked at her tape years ago. That was the stuff that that Down the Rabbit Hole had when I was down there filming movies. They had her on on Eminem Studios. So I am kind of familiar with her battle, but I don't know it in particularly, and I'd have to look at it. And I'm not sure. I know that she works for them, and that she dead. Look, I know they don't like her, and I don't know how she's still walking around, because, you know, according to what she has, you know, she probably needs whistleblower status. And the thing is she's pretty up there as far as what she's doing. But in the same token, I don't know if the method she's using and the stuff that she's using, if it's something that whether or not we can help her. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's certain things that are the kiss of death if you do them. You know what I mean? So we'd have to talk. I don't want to get into it now. I appreciate your letter, and John and I and some of the other group will go in there and look. And, you know, if she wants to come and have a conversation with us at some point.
That's probably the best thing. She should come talk to us.
Right, right. That, because you're not – look, it's very convoluted, okay? And it's
the other thing is the case that she's involved with and what needs to be done and so on and so forth. We may not be yet in the position to do anything. And, you know, look, in the past, we've had people who have kind of hooked on to us, and then they get frustrated because we're not moving quick enough or we're not doing what they want us to do. They think we should do this and we should go in a court and do that and we should say this. And we would say, well, look, you know, we're just not ready for that. It's not that we don't want to do those things, but we have to, you know, look at the reality and see where we're at and see how they're perceiving us and understand how far we can push and how far we can't push. Also, some cases, you know, believe it or not, look, we're out there. People are aware of us. A lot of people hate us, you know, the people in the courts and so on and so forth. But if you're taking this up all the way up to the elites, you know, the question becomes, are they aware of us yet? And I don't know necessarily that they are or they aren't. You know, and we, you know, God can blind anyone, so we could still be sort of under the radar still from that level. And if we are, we certainly wouldn't want to jump into a case that's national yet, unless we know that when we go in there, we're going to kick butt. And we are going to be doing some things very soon that I think can do nothing but, you know, really catapult us into the successful position we're looking to be into. And if things work out the way we think they are, hopefully we're going to do it sooner than later. As soon as we get to that point, now I think we would be in a position to consider a case of this type. But meanwhile, we could be talking if she wanted to give us a call.
Yeah, I didn't know if, since the sheriff wouldn't help her, would the next step for her to go to the U.S. Marshal?
You know, with the marshal, you see, the marshal doesn't have all of the authority and the powers that the sheriff does. He's got the powers within the court. Is it in the federal courts or is it in the state courts? Where exactly is it?
No, it's in it's in Montgomery County, Maryland. That's where the building where she works is.
She's a federal whistleblower.
Right.
This would be a federal case.
I'll tell you what, to really understand it, I'd have to talk with her and then see once.
Email. I have a lot of information there in the email, and you can.
Yeah, but a conversation is, if she wants to talk with us, we'll talk to her. So all she has to do is give us a call. And if she doesn't want to call us, then she's not ready to work with us either, and that's fine, too.
How will she know to call you? How will she know?
845-233. 845-233-6560. 845-233-6560. And again, anybody that has that number, there are other people to talk to in most cases before coming to me. And you know, one of the reasons that we do this three-hour program on Mondays is for people to ask questions, and we could direct you to the right answers and, you know, give you the right answers or direct you to people that can help and so on and so forth. But if she wants to talk, she can yell and on the phone, and I'll be available. Usually I'm available during the day. I try to be. But you know what? That doesn't work all that simple. I mean, I always take a break for an hour or two during the day, and that time varies. So, you know, if they call during that time, I'm gone. Sometimes I'm in a conference call and I can't take a call on, and sometimes these conference calls run for hours. You know, I get involved with all of the different groups and teams that we got going. We work out even technical problems, you know. We've been setting up some hardware and some software up recently, and that's been taking some time. You know, we just got a lot to do, so we do the best we can. But if she wants to talk to us and she's persistent, she calls me once. If she doesn't get me 2-3 hours, try again. I mean, I get so many calls and get so many things going on that I can't return calls. Because if I return calls, I'll be doing nothing all day but returning calls. So I don't even bother returning calls, and I say that in my message. Just try me a couple hours later. You know, you will hit me at some point. You'll get me. Or yeah, try getting Gerard, you know.
Yeah, bring his phone. So I was wondering if the she's been to the sheriff and he won't do anything. So was it really the sheriff's duty to...
I don't know. I'd have to look at the case more specifically. Yeah. I'll be honest. I really didn't understand exactly what the case was. I did skim through it. I did talk a little bit with Gerard. I thought that it was a case that it was a high-profile case that we're not ready to touch yet, but not that we wouldn't talk, you know?
Okay. And, you saw the email then.
Yeah, but generally, I look at a lot of things I skim through because I have to. And yeah. And then I rely on others to give me, to push me, say, hey, wait, you got to go back and take another look because it's something we should get involved with. And then, of course, I do. So, you know, we do the best we can. But we have a lot of people, you know, connect up through the groups and get – but this case here, she needs to call us if she wants us – if she wants to see if we can help her in the near future.
Yeah, funny thing is, right after I sent the email, my computer went crazy. I got like a virus on my computer, and I tried to use another computer to get into my email. I'm now blocked out of my email too.
Well, I got a program. I wasn't going to announce this tonight. I was going to announce it next week, but I'll bring it up now. It's just not up on the website yet. I got a program that I had bought for $59 or $69 or something like that. I forget what it was. And I put it on my computer, and the reason why I bought it, and I bought programs like this that said that they can fix problems on your computer. And the reason I bought it is because when I was reading the responses of some of the people who had purchased this program, they said things like, finally a program that actually does what it says it does. And it repairs just about any problem on your computer. And it does so, and it deals with if you got a virus on your computer, you got a worm on your computer, and you got or just maybe things that just have gone bad, some of the executive files that just went sour and they just don't work well, and it causes bugs and you get the crashes, or you get these things that keep coming up and you can't get rid of them. I mean, all of those type of things, this program solves it all. And what it does is it goes and it replaces all of your executive files. And it makes sure it sets it up with the most newest ones. It works, of course, with Windows. The downside of this program is that you have to turn your Windows update on because it really is updating you with the latest stuff. And so if you have something that's kind of gone sour and is causing you to crash, they'll replace that particular, you know, executive file. And it updates all of your basic, at least the Microsoft programs. But the point is it cleans up the computer, gets rid of whatever the bugs would be hiding, gets rid of all that stuff, and brings you literally to the place where your computer was when you first bought it. My computer is running at unbelievable speeds, just like it was when I first got it. And I use this program to do that. And so I can tell you from my own experience, this program works, and it's the best thing I've ever seen out there. So anybody with a problem, or anybody who owns a computer should buy the program anyway. So I'm going to be posting that up this week, up on the right side of our website. The price is, I forget it was $59 or $69. If you decide to buy the program, you buy it through us by clicking the link, and you pay the same price whether you went directly to their website or through someone else. It doesn't matter. But we're going to become a reseller for them, and it'll help to support NLA, give us a few bucks, and it'll also help people to fix their computer problems and bring their computers back to when they were new again. So it'll be up there soon, and you can use that. You should be able to fix all your problems. I'm totally blown away. I got problems that I've talked with techs about and on my computer for 2 years and never was able to fix, and this program fixed them all. So
where will we find it on the NLA site?
Well, you'll see. It'll be on the right-hand side.
It's not there yet.
No, it won't be there. I have to get it up. I'll get it up this week. But it'll be on the right-hand side. It'll be under products also. I'll create a little page and write a little paper on it. And I just had to find the time to go up and create the page and write some info. And I got to go over and become an affiliate. That'll only take minutes to do. I just got to do those things. Got to find the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to sign up to be an administrator, but I've already started the civics class. So how do I sign up after?
Well, get a hold of Gary. He's the one of the national coordinators. Get a hold of him, and he'll go into your personal account, and he'll check the box for you.
Okay. How do I reach Gary?
On the directory, look for Gary, national coordinator.
Yeah, I'm Gary at nationallibertyalliance.org.
There you go. Yeah, just send him the information, give him your name and your email address that you use to sign up an account. That's the most important thing. And he'll go up and fix it and then give you a note back, hey, done, you're in. And then you'll see a page that with other information that wasn't available to you before, and your name will show up on it and so on.
You have to ask him, how do we sign up if we don't know what county we're going to be in? Yeah,
well, you can change that at any time, okay? You can, whatever county you're living in, just use that one for now. When you move, you can go into my account and make changes of your new address and your new county and so on, and then it'll alter you over the other place.
Yeah, why in Puerto Rico? That's another thing. I'm going to start talking to people in Puerto Rico by possibly setting up something similar to NLA over here.
Well, yeah, you know, look at, in Puerto Rico... In Puerto Rico, there is a federal district court in Puerto Rico. One of the 94 courts is right there in Puerto Rico. And I did notice recently that a lot of these territories, or I don't know what, I think it would be called a territory. I'm not sure what Puerto Rico is called, but any event, I saw that there was even some representatives involved in some of these territories, and Puerto Rico was also listed as one. So definitely we would assist in Puerto Rico, and you know, we have to figure out, I to be honest with you, I got to figure out how these things are working that they've set up with the Puerto Rico and other territories. I just don't know how they work. But we will assist. Since you have a federal court system there, we can assist.
Okay. Well, I find the right person. Can I have them contact you?
About which?
About, like, joining it with NLA.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, give me a call if you need to, but try the administrators first. I mean, the coordinators first. Work through that process. I don't think we have... we don't. Gary, we probably should look into setting up something for Puerto Rico in I don't know how we're going to do that.
We're looking to go international. So, yeah,
right,
Puerto Rico
right.
will be part.
Yeah, so and Puerto Rico again has a federal district court in it.
Right.
So we can help you somewhat there, and we'll have to figure a way to accommodate. But meanwhile, you know what, call Gary when you get a chance, and he'll help you out on how you can sign up or what you should do, and then you can make the changes later or something. But we'll figure something out shortly for that.
Hey, John, isn't the IRS a Puerto Rican corporation?
Well, no, they were originally in the Philippines, and I think, where was the other one?
I thought it was Puerto Rico.
Think it, No, I don't think it was Puerto Rico. They incorporated in two places, one with a little IRS and one with a big IRS. And I'm trying to remember where that was, but I don't think it was Puerto Rico.
Well,
I don't remember, to be honest. It's been a long time.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller. Why don't you stay on it for a while? I'll just hang in the background, Gerard, so I'll let you push the button. Looks like Paul's coming back up. Paul from Long Island. Paul from Silver. Is that Silver, Paul?
That's me again, John.
Okay. All right, Gerard, you got the call?
I was just chiming in there for a little levity at the end of your thing about the food and everything. I was going to tell people, make sure you have some ravioli, that's all.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Ravioli and spaghetti, you know?
Okay. All right. All right. Goodbye.
That was... Really? What was that all about? Who did that? Was that you, Gerard? What happened there? All right, I guess we lost everybody in Q&A, so please hit star, I think it's star 6 to get back in. Gerard, are you here? Did we lose Gerard?
I think you did, but at least one of the people, Laura from Washington, was next in the queue.
Okay, but let me ask, what happened? Who hit that button?
I don't know.
Someone hit that button. Okay, sorry about that, folks. All right, I guess I'll continue until Gerard gets back. Let's go to Laura in Washington. Go right ahead, Laura.
Hi, John. Laura? Can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing, Laura?
Hi. Yes, I just have a couple questions. You know, I really want to be on the health
not about the email, right?
Yeah, I did the email about that, too, yeah.
No, the email that went out, you didn't want to ask any questions on the email that went out, though, right? Because we're not answering questions on that email for right now. That'll be another night, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. What about the smart meter committee, the same thing?
No, that is a good idea.
Yeah, that was mine.
Okay,
that's mine, John, and okay. the technical difficulty that we're having is what's slowing us down.
Okay.
With the website, but our smart meter leader, no pun intended there, is going to be awesome, and we're planning on taking this national, and we're already getting pings from Australia on smart meters.
Okay, great, because I just talked to Angela yesterday and gave her all this information about, you know, how to do stuff, but I actually am asking you because I don't, no, you know, I know the Health and Wellness Committee, the page is not up yet because you're working on that. And the page for the Smart Meter Committee isn't up because of the technical
thing.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to help her because she doesn't know what to do either. So,
are you talking about Angela in Michigan?
Yeah.
Well, that's my girl, man. You're talking about my girl, man.
I'm the one that turned them on to all this.
Oh, yeah, that's... Well, yes. I took her to lunch at Chipotle. No GMOs. I loved it. So, no, Angela is on, and I even turned her over to the IRT team meeting team to see if there's a possibility of helping her regarding her power situation, but I don't know how that worked out.
Okay, so what about – so you talked to Angela yesterday?
Not yesterday, last week.
Okay, because she emailed you yesterday or today to find out what she needs to do.
Oh, well, I'll walk her through the whole thing. I'll contact her tomorrow.
Okay, now there's another thing. I heard somebody mention it right before John came on the call, and there was this, do you guys know about this West Virginia case? Thomas Deegan and won this case in Virginia about Jade Helm and civil authority. Do you guys know about that?
I didn't hear a word. No.
What happened to you? Where'd you go, Gerard?
My Skype went crazy. I don't know. I lost my...
Are you the one that cleared the queue on us?
No. It went away. Everything went away.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, back to Laura. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this Thomas Deegan went to his court in West Virginia to go after the fraudulent, politicians in his county. I heard somebody mention it on the call before we actually started, and I was hoping that somebody was going to mention it besides me and that you guys would know something, because they did the mandamus and some other things, and it's a two-hour conference call to listen to, and it's Thomas Deegan. You guys don't know who he is. D-E-E-G-A-N.
Doesn't ring a bell.
No, not at all.
Because he sounds like he's part of us. I mean, he really knows a lot. I guess this person who initially mentioned it before the call actually started wanted to know if we were somehow involved or going to get involved with that, but it has to do with the rest of the states because they won this, and it had to do with them, letting Jade Helm do whatever. I'm not really explaining this very well at all. I mean, because I'm just starting to try to understand.
So you want to make us more confused than we already are, right?
Sorry.
Good.
It's supposed to be this major thing. Never mind. I sound silly. Anyway, I was just hoping that you guys knew something about it. But it is important for NLA to know about this. So, Gary, can I send you a link to the conference call that this is about?
Yeah, send it to Gary, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, send it on.
Okay. All right, I'll send it to you, and that way, okay.
And by the way, we were still looking to get access to the guy that that they put in jail for selling MMS. I don't know how many years he got, but we can get him out, we believe, and I think it's an important thing to get this guy out of jail and turn this whole case back up or upside down on its head.
Yeah.
So if anybody knows of being able to contact this person,
Well, I tried. I actually went to Jim Humble's website and I contacted him. I told him all this stuff. I said, please call us. And there was somebody I talked to who said they were connected with this guy's whole group. And I gave her all this information. She said she would do whatever she was going to do. I didn't hear anything. So I didn't even know that he got. So he got put in jail for 34 years?
That's what I heard, that he lost the case. I don't know the details on it, but we know he's at least been in court or still in court, or I think he's already been sentenced. But in any event, either way, in jail or out of jail, in court or out of court, we can get him out altogether, we believe, and definitely would like to do that.
Well, I have tried. I wish we knew some people that were closer to the case, because whoever I've talked to, it never went anywhere.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, anybody else out there that thinks they can make contact, do so and connect them with us. So, all right, anything else, Laura?
That's it for now. Thank you, John, and I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
Definitely sent you a lot of healing energy and prayers.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you. All right, Gerard, you want to take it over here? I'll let you push the button. Don't push the wrong one. Gerard?
Hello? Hello?
Gerard? Go ahead, Annie. Ann?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I was muted.
Okay, he's got it. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a question. Mr. Greg Todd no longer is a member of NLA, but he was dealing with a grievance regarding CPS, Gene and Sheila. Can you tell me who's now handling grievances for you in L.A.?
Yeah, we do have someone. I got to make contact with them. We have a chaplain now, and matter of fact, we're going to be looking for a couple maybe, but we have at least one chaplain. And matter of fact, I've been trying to connect with him for about a week or two, just trying to get it onto my agenda to get it done, but I've been so busy and occupied with so many different things that I just haven't done that yet. Gary, can you make sure that happens tomorrow, that I make a connection with our chaplain?
I'll do that.
And
So the chaplain is handling grievances now?
We're going to send people to a chaplain, yes, and let him deal with the grievances, yes.
Okay, and the next question I have, I'm trying to get a presentment against the Shelby County Juvenile Court and against Loretta Lynch. She's the current United States Department of Justice Attorney General for the Department of Justice, and also like a presentment against Eric Holder, former Attorney General for the United States Department of Justice. Who do I contact for that?
Well, when you say a presentment, you're looking for an indictment, which is called a presentment, depending on how, which is an interesting question, because I'm going to do a little more research on this. You know, if someone brings something to the grand jury for an investigation and they do the investigation and they bring in all the evidence, I don't think at that point it's a presentment. I think it's still an indictment. And even if the grand jury, let me think about this. Yeah, anybody that brings a case. I think a presentment is when the grand jury, we do know that a presentment is when the grand jury acts on its own, but I think that's from discovery point. They discover something else going on in the process of their work, and they start to look deeper, and they start to see a crime, and then they do a presentment. We're not ready for those kind of indictments. That's the problem. I mean, definitely we would like to look at the case, prepare it, get it ready, but we wouldn't be doing it for at least not right now. So what kind of information do you have?
Well, the Department of Justice a few years ago did an investigation to the Shelby County Juvenile Court, and they found numerous constitutional violations. Those children were not read their Miranda rights, and there were a lot of physical abuse, and some of the children were transferred to adult facilities. It's online, but Eric Holder at that time was Attorney General. He did not prosecute the Shelby County Juvenile Court. And I've been going to some of the meetings they're having for the public. The only thing that happened was the DOJ entered into a memorandum of agreement with Shelby County Juvenile Court. So the problem is not being resolved. They still have the same judges abusing the children.
What kind of documentation do you have?
Well, it's online. It's a report 3 years ago. And it's like
it's an official report?
Yes, sir, for the Department of Justice. It was an investigation of 6,000 children.
Okay, are you on my Skype? Are we connected on Skype?
No, I'm from the old school. I've completed the Civics course, but I'm from the old school, so I don't Skype.
Okay, well, you should Skype. Everybody should learn Skype, but to take that extra step and take it in, because it's the best form of communications that I'm aware of. It has so many, you can pass files as you're talking, and you can pass huge files. I've seen files, gigs that go through. And we can get as many as 25 people at a time on the conference call off of Skype, plus calls, and my phone lines go right into Skype. So Skype is a great way to communicate. What you should do is download Skype, and then connect with me and then get me that file. How big is the file?
It's not that big. It's online. What I can do, if JW, he's the state coordinator for Tennessee, I would pass it along to him. I know he's
And then have him get to me. You see, the reason, you can email it to me, but I lose so much in email. I don't connect very well in email because I get too much. And so I miss a whole bunch of stuff. And sometimes, even when people I know it's coming and I'm looking for it and I just miss it. But what I always tell people, you got to get something to me, and it's important. Call me on Skype, and when you get me on Skype, drop the file while we're talking. Then I can deal with it, put it in some appropriate folder, and plan for how I might deal with it. I definitely want this information. I definitely believe there's something we could do now about it to some degree, or utilize some of it, because we're working with the family court problems and the CPS problems and all of that stuff. We can utilize it. And even if we don't pursue in the way of presentments or something of that nature at the moment, it is definitely something that we could do maybe a month or two down the line. But meanwhile, I think it can assist us in other ways, and we can do something with it. I just got to read the papers first. How many pages is it?
66 pages.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's 56 or 6, because I have a copy. I have a hard copy of it.
All right. You get it to JW. Have JW get it to me. Okay.
And the last thing, somebody called in last Monday. I think they said, the man said that Bill Thorne, either Bob Thorne, was not living. I'm not sure if that's the same one that's on your
Bill Thornton is still alive.
He's still living. Yeah, he's still alive. Okay, with that I yield. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Gerard, you got it.
Okay. Let's see. We have Anonymous coming up from 8554. Yes. Who is this?
Yes.
First name and state.
My name is David from New York. I contacted John before last week about our case. I told him I've been fighting for 5 years. And I'm ready. I went to the. It got to the Second Circuit, and everything. It made. I have 7 little girls, and my family homeless because it was against my mother. I signed over my property when I was young. We was winning the case and everything. But she's political connected, and when she got political connected, they switched the judges on us. I just was learning about the, common law, and that's what I'm, going to do now because, I went online. Thank God, I listened to the course and everything right. that you have online. And one question I wanted to ask is, when you do the common law, when you go to the federal court, okay, I was always get the fees waived, and everything. Now, I don't want to go as a pauper because I think that's going to hurt my status.
We don't ever go in as a pauper. You just look. If they have to let you in. We have paperwork with the verbiage that said that they can't sell freedom. And, sometimes it's a battle getting it past the clerk, but then you send in another paper and you tell her that she's going to be, prosecuted or sued or whatever. And we always end up getting it by, and that's what you need to do. You know what I mean?
Okay.
To get in there. And, look, when you go in, you got to know how to write a case, to open up a common law court of record. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're dealing in their fiction, and you're not going to get anywhere. So you have to hold that jurisdiction in there, and basically, I don't know how you're going in, but that's why we like the habeas corpus is because, once they violate you, on a federal level, on an inalienable right, then you can do a habeas corpus or one of those writs, which, like John says, they won't answer. They'll default. You don't even have to worry about the case that you were fighting because that's no longer the issue. It's the due process where they violated you, and that's where you get them. And you don't wait for them. You don't ask them. When people learn how to write these writs, it's boom, boom, boom. You go in, and you make the decision, and you follow each paperwork back to back. And you don't wait for the judge to grant it because he's not going to give it to you anyway. So you need to study that stuff real good because you want to make sure. If you miss a step, they'll get you, and it won't work. You leave one of them out, you're done. And they'll wait, and they'll see if you know what the next step is. A lot of times they hesitate. They'll sit there waiting to see if you know what to do. And if you don't do anything, then they just roll over you. So you just got to be careful. And I would – look, if you're going to go in there, I would get – I don't know what your case is about. You should talk to our – IRC team. You really, really should run it by them. Whether they do it or whether you do it, you can get the advice that you need as far as in the particulars of your case. Without getting into your case here on this call on Monday night, you can actually get into the case with somebody, and they may have some suggestions based on your particular, circumstances.
How do you get in contact with them? Because the thing being is, I've been trying to contact them a little bit, and I think I know how to find a common law case. I want to make sure. Uh-huh.
Well, look at some of the stuff we've done is up online. I mean, you can see examples of like a habeas corpus that we did, but we're doing it from the perspective of the grand jury, where the grand jury is actually granting it. You know what I mean? When you do your own without the grand jury doing it, you're granting it through your own court of record, and you have to write that from that perspective. So
I would, you ever heard of Carl Lenz?
Yes, Carl Lenz, yes. I've listened to some of his stuff.
What do you think about him?
Well, it was a while ago.
Are you talking about Carl Miller?
No, Carl
no,
Lenz.
Not Carl Lenz.
Carl Lenz. Is that the one that Ryan was looking
yes,
into?
Yes, he's one. Yes,
okay.
That's one of them. And he also uses Freeman Burt and a couple of other ones. And Carl Lenz, isn't he the one that likes to keep it simple?
Yeah.
I just want to keep it simple. Well, Carl Lenz, he doesn't really want to know anything about common law. What he wants to do is get you in and get you out using their statutes, whatever he has to do, kind of down and dirty, and get you out of the case. And that's nice, but I think you can get in trouble. And then once you get in trouble like that, you've sort of boxed yourself in, you know what I mean? I mean, he does use the statutes, and he does whatever he has to do to get you out of court. And he has successes, but the thing is I think if they roll over you using his method, you basically ruined your position, is my opinion anyway, if I understand what he's doing. I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't have some good stuff, but I don't think he sticks to the common law per se. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't want to get into any of the issues of the day. He's just kind of like trying to work the nuts and the bolts of the court. And look, there's more than one way to win a battle in the courts. I like the common law way because it's sticking to basic principles, and I don't want to have to learn how to tap dance. But, you know, you can frustrate them using their own statutes, but it's so much easier to just go in, put your paperwork in, do the right thing. They always violate your due process and then go after them on due process. Look, it's like Thornton says, do you want to fight or do you want to win? So, look, forget it. And some people get attached to their cases because they've been so wrong. And when you're going to the federal courts, listen, you're not talking about your case. What you're going in there with is the fact that they violated your
right.
rights. And therefore,
right.
the case needs to be thrown out. And then once it's thrown out, once they default, you give them the notice of default. And then you give them, you know, the decision of default. And then you have to give them a cease and desist order when it's done. I mean, you have to go boom, 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 follow up, and the cease and desist, and they can never come back. So that's the
well, that's what I'm up to right now. I'm sending letters, right, and I'm cease and desist. Because what happened is that basically it was a constructive trust case. Okay, I was winning the case and everything. I was, you know, I did my research and everything, thank God. But then when it got political, my mother had a political connection, that's when it went awry. Okay, because the thing being is that they never said that I didn't own the property no more. But everybody agreed, all the judges agreed, that, yeah, he got violated. They even said I had a cause of action. But the thing being is, when it came down to it, when she took me to housing court, even though she got scared on the stand and admitted that everything was a lie, the judge continued the case and said, I don't care
okay,
if she's lying.
You don't even want to be in housing court. That's a bull crap court. That's an administrative crap court. They're never going to fine for you. They don't care what they do or how they do it. I mean, those are the courts that Lydia's fight went down there, and I mean, they're just Joe and Paula, they're completely off the grid. You have to take
right.
them into federal court. You shouldn't even be dealing with them people. They're just they're horrible. So,
but
and I mean, I don't even they don't even have any authority to do what they're doing. But that's beside the point. They do it anyway. And you can find yourself in jail with them, too, because they will go out and hold you in contempt and arrest you and everything else, you know?
Right. And that's another thing what she did, too. She went to family court, and because she was going to different courts to you know, mass block my winning. I was about to win. She went to family court and stopped me from giving her court papers. That's what it says. I have to go to the court. She got an order of protection for me giving her court papers. To stop giving her court papers.
Yeah, that's how you know you were getting successful. I don't even think they have the authority to do that. You just need to get out of the corrupt state court. You need to sue them in a federal court. You need to get it out of their hands.
Yeah, that's what. But I want to go the common law way because we did it a little wrong. And that's,
she might have even broke the law filing those cases where you had a case against her because they're supposed to ask you if you have a case going. And if she lied and said no, because look at you, I could go to family court to be vindictive. If it has anything to do with what we're doing and she's filing cases in other courts, she's supposed to tell them that she has pending action in a suit in this court, because that means that she's using that court to violate you. And now they're responsible. So I don't know what she did. Look, I'm just telling you, you need to look into it.
But here's this, though, real quickly. Here's this. The judge that was doing the law in the Superior Court, she issued a stay in housing court. But when the judge got switched, and then not only did she issue a stay, she told her that's my house, okay? Mm-hmm. She told me this is all on the record, and she made it a constructive trust, okay? And she said you can't go to housing court no more. They changed the judge and they put it back in housing court.
Yeah, see that's very forgiving. Welcome to New York. I don't want to get too deep in your case. You've got a lot of people, but I see you've been around and around the horn. And all what you got to do is look at when you pick that rifle up. There's a front bead and then there's a little back thing, and you put the front bead and the little back thing. See, that's what your problem is. You're shooting from the hip all the time. You're missing your target. Okay, so you have to change your target and your strategy and get the heck out of there before they drive you crazy.
Right. So just go to do the common law and take over the court and just say I'm a man.
Yeah, if you use our verbiage, you don't have to say you're a man because they're going to look at you like you got six heads. You are a man, and they don't have jurisdiction over you. So, but you have to be a little bit more, you accept their oaths and bonds, and the guys in the federal court know what that means. You know, you don't have to say, I'm not the straw man and all that baloney, because then they look at you like you're a sovereign citizen nut. All you got to do is say you accept their oaths and bonds. And in this court of record, you name the court, and they're too illiterate and stupid to know what that means, and they'll never protest. And so you just opened your court of record, and you didn't have to use any language that's going to get their hairs all up, By the time they figure that you got them locked down in a common law court, it's going to be too late. It's all over. And that's the way you want to be.
Because I heard lawyers can't talk in a common law court. If they bring their lawyers.
Well, look, I don't know who can and who got. They're not supposed to be able to do this and they're not supposed to be able to do that, but they do it anyway. And when you're standing there and they got the guns, guess what? They're going to do it. And that's why you don't want to let yourself get in that situation in the first place. I would talk to somebody up there on the IRT before you did anything just to get a couple of ideas. But we got to move on.
I appreciate it. Give a call, send
an email, and go into that committee and talk to one of the guys up there. I am sure that they can really, really help you in as far as what you're going to do next, okay?
Yeah, I was thinking about calling Gina. Is that a good place to go?
Gina can direct you to – it's your case will probably go to what do you have? You're in the family court, right?
No, I'm taking everything to family. I'm taking everything to federal court because they already ruled that. Even though I told them they didn't have jurisdiction, and they kicked me out of court every time they said.
This is really not a CPS case though. This would be more with our IRC team, because what they're doing is they're steamrolling you and getting your property from you, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so this is more, it's almost more like a bank case where they're going after your equity in your home and that. So the IRT would be the place to be. And I mean, you can still do a habeas corpus on what they're doing once they read your case, get all the paperwork together, and you're going to have to do an affidavit as to what happened to you up to this point, and you're going to have to sign it, notarize it. Just follow, call them and get the packet so that you can fill out the paperwork so that they get the base knowledge of what they need on your case, and then go from there and talk to one of the guys. You'll okay. Be okay. Okay? Thank
all
you.
All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, all right?
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye. Okay, New York, Maud, you're unmuted.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
John, too.
Yes.
Several things. I put myself in line because you started talking about Kevin Arnett.
Yes.
And Kevin Arnett is something that we discussed a year ago. And, you know, he's really a very questionable person. There were never any grand juries.
Yeah, you don't have to go there. I know all about it.
Okay, so okay. I just wanted to remind you.
Yes, no, I know.
Stay away from that person.
Well, listen, we tried to have a meeting with him, and he kind of stood us up. So anyway.
I remember that, so I don't know why he's even being discussed again, you know?
Well, listen, people brought him up, don't know. We have new people. I just don't like
know.
I don't like to look at Kevin has some good ideas and he's got good people and I don't, you know what I mean? I don't want to burn any bridges with anybody, but listen, we know what we're doing and we would never get sucked into anything that's any fugazi, you know, that's not with common law. And especially I always shy away from international stuff because look at
there were never any courts. There was nothing. It was a fraud.
But let's say there was a court. How about we go here? There's an international court. I don't know where their authority would come from. We don't have a one world government. You know what I mean? We have our government deals with different nations. But look, if the UN wants to be the court that comes over here and tells us what to do, I kind of get rashes when you start talking about international court coming in to enforce American law. And the twos don't line up very well with me, you know? I mean, look, if the whole world is killing each other, you know, maybe we need to do something internationally. But as far as most of what we're doing, we need to fix our nation first.
Okay,
you
that's
know what I mean?
One. Okay,
yeah.
The second thing is that you have to be very careful now with Microsoft 10.
I'm afraid.
It is very dangerous.
I'm
copying
afraid.
Down all your passwords, everything. People should absolutely stay away from it. And if you get emails from someone who has a Microsoft 10 upgrade, it will copy all your stuff even if you don't have it. So that's the latest on Microsoft and Google Chrome. Are you there?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So that's a big warning to everybody.
Is
no
there anyone? Is
to
there
Microsoft
anyone that
10.
Can give us affidavits on that?
Well, I just heard it yesterday on a new show, but it is...
Well, see if you could dig further into it and find somebody's name who maybe is, revealing the problem. And
well,
because we know that there's a problem.
I will tell you what, John, just a sec. What's one of the other search engines? Firefox? What is it?
Well, there's Start, something Start, and it's
no, not Start,
Yahoo,
No.
Yeah.
The regular, one of the regular ones, Firefox, one of the big companies wrote back to Microsoft, and they said, no way, because you're not allowing the people to make a choice about who they want to, whatever.
Yeah, look, we know Microsoft are not. Look, we know that already.
But,
okay, you know,
so
the problem
just,
is we'd love to, I'd love to do something about it, especially with this. Look, they're spying on us everywhere. These people are collecting information. They're breaking an entry into our homes. When they break into our computers, they're coming into our homes. They're going into our personal data. If they're doing those kind of things, I'll tell you what, I'd love to make a federal case out of that. So if anybody knows of anybody that can do affidavits, because we'd have to have affidavit. You know, without an affidavit, there is no court case. Okay?
Listen,
if we have anybody with inside knowledge of this stuff and is willing to talk with us and give us affidavits, we'd go do something about it.
Listen, their own documentation proves, look, they came out with Windows 8 because that was the one that the government had its fingers in. It went deeper than 7 and, you know, they could control it more. But they had so much crap in there that it kept crashing. So Microsoft right away came out with Windows 8.1 to try to fix it because right away people found out that Windows 8 was no good, but that's the one they wanted with all the back doors in it. So then they fixed it to 8.1 or some other baloney. So you'll know that Windows 10 is going to be 10 times worse than the 8.1 that they fixed up with the back doors. You know?
Yeah, a lot of people upload. That's what, because John, you were saying your program there uploads to the latest. I mean, God forbid it should upload you into 10 and you don't even know it.
Oh yeah, that would definitely be a problem. I know they threw it onto my computer, and I guess everybody's got it down on their little bar.
Bottom.
We tried
to
even get rid of it, and haven't been able to get rid of it. But yeah, they really push you on this Windows 10.
They are pushing it. That young woman who spoke from Puerto Rico about Karen Hoodress.
Yeah.
I mean, that story about her being locked out of the World Bank, unless she's doing it again, it's a very old story.
Yeah.
It is, right?
Yeah, it happened 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. And I read it 2 years ago, and I knew people that were trying to fight for her. And
she's a lawyer. She knows what to do.
Yeah, I understand. I know all about it. And I'm nevertheless, you know.
Okay, all right, John. I have a really major problem, and I need to talk to you in person. I'm going to try and call you.
All right, try to call me tomorrow.
Okay, I will try. All right. Absolutely. Okay, right. Guys, thank you very
right.
much
well,
for everything.
Yeah.
And that Virginia thing, that West Virginia thing, that's I could send you. It's on the NASARA website. They started, they filed to create a new government, to create a whole new government.
Who is that?
This West Virginia group that this lady was talking about before. Or the North Dakota, I'm sorry. You know, I don't have everything on. But the one that somebody spoke about at first, and then they spoke about, because I was reading that whole thing today, you know, about this new government, that they're trying to start a whole new government, and they have all the paperwork so all the other states can sign up and create a new government.
Yeah, just what we need, a new government before, well, we're still messed up with the old one, right?
I know.
Okay, less
I know,
than 2 minutes.
But it's to stop the military.
Right.
It's to stop, because they said they need a civil government so that the civil government can order the military to step down. That
yeah.
was it.
1 minute.
Yeah.
All right, Maud, I'll talk to you tomorrow. We got 1 minute left, Gerard.
Okay. Good night, guys. Good night.
Good night. Okay.
Right. 1 minute.
All right. You got anonymous. It doesn't say anything but anonymous. You're open. Wonder if it's anonymous. I guess. Are you the one that makes the videos with the little guy's head there, anonymous?
No, that's just coming in.
I know. I'm just teasing her.
Oh,
hurry up.
Teasing. Well, she doesn't see the board like you do. So.
Oh. Well, I said we have an anonymous coming in.
Okay, go ahead.
You got to pay attention to my jokes. Go ahead.
Now, this is Allie in Washington State.
Yes, Allie, go ahead.
And I work with Laura here, but I got two emails, one this morning on that critical update for Americans regarding Jade Helm and the military USA Corp. But I want to share with you what BP, who has this site, said, you know, since she's Canadian, hasn't delved deeply into the legal standings of the functional government, but she'll give you an overview. And she says, I would hope these folks, that's in West Virginia, have already looked into the National Liberty Alliance and are launching this to modify filings as the NLA has done. They have filed the whip mandamus and talked about before respect to the National Liberty Alliance and other paperwork. But it's Thomas Deegan, two other men. They won a case that opens the door to creating a constitutional compliant structure, a civil authority that can require the military to stand down. So that's really pretty interesting.
We'd like to get information on that. So
Starship, thebigpicture.com.
Starship,
the big picture.
Starship, the big picture.com.
Yeah, Starship, the big picture.com. Now, I'd also like to say that I'm in the 12th year as an elected official. I can count on one finger or one hand and have fingers left over because I'm the only, other than them, I'm the only elected official I know that I like. I'm being challenged this year up for election because before I quite appropriately have to ask myself before some votes, does this benefit the people? That determines my answer. And I have been the only no voter several times over the last 12 years, so they put my neighbor, my former friend, up to running against me. I don't care if I stay in because I see how corrupt the Board of Health and everyone is since I started investigating fluoride in the water, even though I don't have it in my district that I serve. But also I find I'm in violation of my oath because I cannot cannot honor the laws of the state of Washington. Especially because I follow the Public Works Trust Fund and where the money went, and this is only happening in the state of Washington, but in every state of the U.S., and in our Public Works Trust Fund, they have taken almost $1 billion over the last few years, $75 million this year, from the Public Works Trust Fund, put it into the Education Legacy account, then over into the Washington Investment Bank, and then from there to the casino on Wall Street where it's invested in foreign corporations. I confronted our acting state auditor after an open transparency government training session and asked her about it. She said she knew about it, but she could only audit what was legal. And if I thought it was unethical, then I had to go to the legislature. So we're having billions, maybe even trillions of dollars taken from all of our public works trust funds in every state for them to gamble and not being used on our bridges.
We're somewhat aware of that, and I wasn't sure. I wasn't really aware about the foreign corporations, but they may think they're out of arm's reach. They're not. And that's something that will be dealt with.
Well, I would like to help there, and let me tell you, I am so thankful that in all of the investigative research on the several subjects that I do, that I have become involved with the NLA and with Laura and Michael Elijon and Rebecca Campbell and what we're doing with the smart meters here, with the Chaudray case down against this decorated disabled Muslim veteran.
Well,
so,
you're aware of the special Washington meeting
tomorrow? I mean Wednesday.
Well, no, we're not going to talk about that. We just, if you're aware of it, you're aware of it, and if you could be there, I don't want people outside of Washington there. We will identify every person on this call, and if they're not from Washington, they'll have to leave. So,
and I think it's
I don't
really
want to talk about any details. If you're aware of it, if not, get a hold of Gary or someone, and they'll fill you in.
Yeah. Well, I recently acted as a court observer in a U.S. district court with a video camera and put the judge to the test. And, boy, did he make a whole bunch of chatter out of his mouth, and then he could not deny me from recording the whole trial, the hearing.
Well, that's
and
good.
When we got to the end of it, because of the notice of liability that had been filed against him, he said this case would go away in 2 months. It's been going on for 5 years.
Yeah, they're insane. How does a court case go on for even a year? How does that happen? Are these people insane? I mean, are we that dumb that we play with them that long? I just don't.
Yeah, that's all
I'm just blown away from it. I'm just, look at most of these court cases I see should be handled right then and there. One day you're out. You're done. Why? Well, we know why they do it. They're playing games. They're making money. It's all about money.
And they're attacking these people all over wheelchair ramps for her husband, her disabled, decorated Army Muslim, and the permits aren't even needed.
Yeah, that
so
case,
it's really interesting.
I think we're involved in that case, aren't we?
There's a will, there's a way, and I have found that NLA is the way to get these injustices righted.
Absolutely. Aren't we involved in that case with the wheelchair and the ramp and stuff?
I think you are now.
Yeah, I think it's in our IRT or IRC group, and it should be coming up soon, dealing with it. So.
Well, I'm hopeful that what this commissioner, well, not even really a judge, and he's from, was it from a different district, brought in. When he looked at it all, he said that this case will go away in 2 months. So mm-hmm. we'll see what happens.
Well, look, let's try to connect and talk. If you can call me tomorrow, fine. If not, get a hold of me. Maybe I'll catch you on a Washington meeting, and we'll talk a little more about this. And I'd like to get more information. And we have one person who has extreme knowledge on the topic of all of these funds and hiding places. And it'd be good to have another person who has some knowledge on it.
Well, I'd be more than happy to do anything that I can, and I am doing it, and I will be there tomorrow.
Okay, appreciate it. Okay, that brings us to the end of our program. Thanks for the call. We'll talk to you tomorrow. That brings us to the end of our program, so Lord willing, we'll be back next Monday. And again, please, everybody, consider getting involved. Join up on the courses. If you haven't taken the civics course, get into the civics course, become an administrator, join some other committees, get involved, learn how to write papers, become part of the solution. Okay, with that, good night. Thanks for everybody showing up. I won't lie.